Today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Samach Aleph. And we are 8 lines from the bottom of daf Samach Amid Beis, the two dots, Natal, Chavis, Vizarka, Bechamasai, Lebar, Zehoyemaisa, Vehechshiroi. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu B'nei Yisrael, Hanasunu Batzar Vashevi. So we're holding at the very last daf of the fourth perek of Meseches Avodah Zarah, Perek Rabbi Yishmael, which continues to discuss halachos related to Yayin Nesach. So the Mishnah, the very last line of the Mishnah, on Daf Samach Amid Beis, said, not unless a chavis, if a guy would take a chavis, a barrel, or if he would take something else for that matter, v'zarka b'chamasi labar, and he would throw it in a fit of rage into a bar of Yayin, zehoya maisa, this was a real life story, v'hechshiru, and the chachamim said that the wine was kosher. Now, why would you think that the wine would not be kosher? Because the guy, on some level, made contact with the wine. Now, he didn't touch it. He didn't even touch it indirectly. He threw something at it. But throwing something at something is some form of contact. Sol kedai techamina, that the wine that's inside the bar should now be deemed wine of a yid that was touched by a guy, kamash malon, that it's going to be kosher. And it sounds like, just from learning Mishnayos, that the reason it's kosher is because the guy was zarka b'chamasai. He threw it out of a fit of rage. And that would be a reason for the wine not to become aser, for the very simple reason, when a guy touches wine, the reason it's aser is because of a concern that maybe he did the flick of the wrist. Maybe he was menasach a little bit of yayin l'avodah zarah. So if you do it in a calm state, where maybe you're thinking being menasach, that's where it would be a problem. But if it was zarka b'chamasai, so you would think that for sure he's not having in mind being menasach yayin l'avodah zarah, and for that reason, it would be okay. Says the Mishnah Enochinami, if that's what happened, that's why it would be kosher. But again, the diak that's worth being mindful of, even before we start the Gemara, is it sounds like had he done it not in a fit of rage, in that instance, in fact, would be a problem. And on that note, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said, Kol shebezov tameh, ba'oivet koychavim, anytime if a Zov would make contact with something, it would deem that thing Tameh. The equivalent thereof, if you had a guy who would touch wine in that same way, he would make the wine Yayin Nesach. But in the event that it's a type of contact where had the Zov made contact, it would not convey Tameh. If a guy would touch wine in that same fashion, he wouldn't make Yayin Nesach. So we know a Zov is a type of Tameh. A Zov is metama b'maga, meaning if he makes contact with something, that thing becomes tummy. What does it mean, he made contact? So it's a whole Shulchan Aruch. Says Rav Ashi, whatever that Shulchan Aruch says, as it relates to if it's considered contact or not considered contact for a Zov conveying tuma, that's the same Shulchan Aruch of how we define contact when it comes to Yayin Shel Yisrael Shenoga Boy Oyve Kechavim. If it's considered maga when it comes to a Zov conveying Toma, it's considered maga that the guy now would make this Yayin Nesach. But if it's not considered maga when it comes to a Zov, so too it's not going to be considered maga when it comes to Yayin Nesach. Read the Gemara Esfi Ravunul Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi said this halacha. Ravun asked him the following question. Unzer a Mishnah, not Allah Sachavis, Vazarka Bechamasi. If a guy would take a Chavis and he would throw it in a fit of rage, Lubar into a pit of wine, Zeho Yimah. This was a real life story of Hichshira, and the Chacham said that it was kosher. Now it sounds like the diak we prefaced the daf with bechamasi and shloi bechamasi loy. It sounds like the reason that the Chachamim said it was kosher is because although the guy made contact, but he made contact in a state of rage, and no one's menasach yayin in such a state, and it's for that reason it was kosher. But let's say he would have done the same exact thing. The guy would have thrown something into the yayin shloi bechamasi. Then the halacha is loy, the halacha of the Mishnah would not be true, meaning it wouldn't be kosher. Then the halacha would be that it would be Yayin Nesach. This is a kasha on Rav Ashi. Why is it a kasha on Rav Ashi? Because if a Zov throws something at someone or at something, that thing does not become Tomei. So if a Zov makes direct contact Tomei, even if he makes indirect contact, so he sits on something that's on top of something else, that would make Tomei. But if a Zov would throw something at something, then there would not be Tumah, via the medium of the Zrika. Well, if the rule is Kol Shabbos of Tami by Bikachavim Oisni Yai Nesach, Aber Kol Shabbos of Tar by Bikachavim In Oisni Yai Nesach, that means any time a guy throws something at wine, it should never become Tami, even if it's Shaloi Bechamasai, because it's an example of Kol Shabbos of Tar. And in that instance, Be Oivit Kachavim In Oisni Yai Nesach, Seisvei Rav Huna the Rav Ashi. So Rav Huna asked Rav Ashi, by the way, some have the Girsa Ravina. Why would you have the Girsa Ravina? Because Rav Huna lived before Rav Ashi, right? You don't find in Shas Rav Huna and Rav Ashi talking to each other. You find Ravina and Rav Ashi talking to each other, and you can see how people would confuse Rav Huna and Ravina, right? Certainly if you say Ravina. But either way, you could see how Rav Huna and Ravina would be a little bit confused, but either way, so Esavei Rav Huna or Esavei Ravina li Rav Ashi, that Lachura our Mishnah would seem to be a pircha on Rav Ashi's klal, and the Gemara says you have to say that the case in our Mishnah, and really the Maisa Shahaya Kachaya that took place, Hasam the Ka. The story there was a little bit different. The story was not where the guy threw something from afar and it now landed inside the bar, and because it was Shloi B'chamasi, the Chacham said it was kosher. Because if you would throw something, even if it was Shloi B'chamasi, the halach is that it would be kosher. It doesn't matter, yes or no, because it's a case of Kol Shabbos Avtar. The case was where this person was rolling something. The guy took the kli and he was rolling it into the bar, and he rolled it and he rolled it and he rolled it, up until the bar, and then he gave it the last nudge. Over there, the Chachamim said that the only reason it was kosher is because he did it in a fit of rage. Had he did it Shaloi B'chamasei over there, it would have been a problem. And the reason is, Zokt Rashi, the Chayshin and Dumanag, the last words of Rashi before the Mishnah, two lines from the top, because they were concerned that maybe he touched it. He got so close to it, he might have touched it. Meaning, even though really that last nudge is the equivalent of a Zrika, but being that he got so close to it, over there Chazal said Shaloi B'chamasei, it would have been a problem. But Enochinami, a regular Zrika, a person would throw something, a guy at the Yai Nesach, being that it's Kol Shabbos Avtar, the halacha is, when it comes to Yayin, it's Eino Oisa Yayin Nesach. So what emerges from this last Gemara? First of all, in a Kimt in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Notalas Achavis Vizarka B'chamasi Lebar Zeho Yemaisa V'chshiroi. The Gemara's Kimt is, it's talking about the Ka'azel Mineo Mine. That's a very important Kimt. Another thing is the Diak, which was really the premise of why we had this whole Gemara. And that is, Notalas Achavis Vizarka B'chamasi. Then the halach is kosher. But if it would be shaloi b'chamasai, in that case it would be a problem. Additionally, we have a rule that if you want to define maga when it comes to yayin shel yisrael shenaga ba'ovik kechavim, you have to learn hilchas zavin. Kol shebezav tamei ba'ovik kechavim oisei yayin nesach. Kol shebezav tar ba'ovik kechavim eni oisei yayin nesach. What's the punchline? What's the one big halacha that comes out from our Gemara? If a guy touches yayin, it's a problem. Even if he touches it with a stick, right? Shloi b'kavana, dinuk ben yoyma, even that would be a problem. But if he would throw something at it, even though he made contact, right? I threw something at this, so essentially I created this contact. It's koichai. We saw koichai is a big deal in the sugas of yayin nesach. All true, but at the same time, being that it's an example of kol shabbos avtar, the halach is, if a guy would do that to the yayin, it would be enei oisa yayin nesach. Moving along, the last Mishnah here in the fourth perek. So the topic of this Mishnah is actually something that we saw very, very briefly in the latter part of the previous daf, but just to set it up a little bit high level. So we know that if a guy touches a yid's wine, it poses a problem. It's one of the three categories of yayin nesach. Not only is it asa b'shtia, it's even asa b'hana, it's related to avodah zarah, could be it even is in the sugya of Yehoru Guval Yavar. Could be even a Chodesh Yesh Bei Sakani wouldn't be able to give this type of wine to. Now, we know Bismaneinu, it's very different. That was the raid the last couple of days. Actually, I should say, of Daf Samach and of today's daf that we're going to post that we recorded yesterday, Mikano Labala Mafreya. But the bottom line is that Yayin shel Yisrael, shenaga ba'ovik kechavim, we know is a very big problem. So the minute the guy touches the wine, you have all the Gemaras that we learned in the last week. The question that really underpins this next part of the perek is, what would be if you don't know for sure that the guy touched the wine? When do I have to be concerned that he might have touched it? And when do I not have to be concerned that he might have touched it? Meaning, once he touches it, oh, that's all the Gemaras that we've been learning. But If I have wine, do I have to be concerned that maybe in the middle of the night, a guy broke into my house, and he went, and he did the flick of the wrist, he was menasach yayin l'avodah zarah, and as a result, all my wine is suddenly going to be problematic? Presumably not, right? So then the question is, what's the guidelines, right? We need a little bit of guidance here. When do we say that if I have wine and there's a Yehudi somewhere in my tchum, I need to be concerned that maybe all of a sudden this wine was tampered with and therefore there's like a suffix, yayin esecher? And when do we say that, no, mechatesi, why in the world should I have to be concerned about this? Now really, this discussion began in the previous Mishnah. The Mishnah had mentioned, right, a Yid comes home one day, he has a Bershel Yayin, and he sees an Oivet Kechavim is standing right there. What's the question? The question is, did he do a little bit of a nisuch? Is that something you have to be worried about? And the Mishnah said, in the event that this Oivet Kechavim is a creditor of the Yid, he has an outstanding loan by him, so then the halach is it's going to be Asr. Of course, we're concerned that he feels a little bit of a bilus over him, Eved Loivet Lishmalva. So maybe he felt comfortable, Libay Gaspa, he went to the wine, and he did a little bit of a nisuch. In Loim Bilva, Olav Mutter, because now we don't assume that he's going to go take the Yid's wine and suddenly do a nisuch. Meaning as much as he has a taiva, this burning fire inside of him, to do this flick of the wrist, but at the same time, it's not his. So if it's not his, you don't have to be worried. If there's a milvah, yeah. If not, nah. Now, if you remember, Shmuel made an akimta that when the Mishnah said, v'ushe yesh le milvah, all of it means al oisayay, where that wine was already posted as collateral, as security. It was an apoitiki for this loan. But stam, the fact that it's yesh le milvah, all of that in and of itself wouldn't be enough for us to be concerned that maybe the guy went ahead and he played around with this wine. But again, that Mishnah already ushered in this discussion of when do I need to be concerned that maybe a guy tampered, when do I not have to? The rest of the parak is very much a continuation of this theme. Zok the Mishnah, Hamitar Yenoi Shaloi V'Kechavim. So the case is as follows. The case is where there was a guy who owned grapes. He wanted to produce wine and he wanted to sell it to Jews. But he knew that if he's going to produce the wine himself and try selling it to the Jews, you know, maybe in Moravia and in Italy during certain points in Jewish history, that would be a good business model. But usually it's not, because it's going to be Stam Yenam. And as a result, this would be an issue. So what he did was, is he hired a Jew, very shrewd of him, and he told the Jew, I want you to go produce the wine, my grapes. Grapes of a guy is fine, but the wine is the issue. So go ahead and produce the wine and sell it and, you know, pay me something for my grapes. They come up with some sort of split. And like this, everyone's making parnasa. Now, the case was where the guy allowed the Yid to keep the grapes and the wine that he was producing birshusai, in the rishus of the guy. So again, it's the guy's grapes. The Yid is producing them in the rishus of the guy. He's coming to his basement. That's where he's making this. And he's leaving it there. Now, how long is he going to leave it there? Until he sells it. That's what's going to happen. Now, not only is he leaving it there, this is a very important part, he's also not paying him, Rashi says. So the Yid is going to pay the guy, obviously. He's going to have to pay him for the cost of goods and whatever the arrangement they had. But he's going to pay him out of the proceeds. So they're going to sell the wine, and every time they sell a bottle of wine, so they're going to take a chelik of it and split it. But the point is that the Yid is producing wine with the grapes of the Oivet Kechavim. It's in the reshus of the guy. The Yid is not paying him. He's leaving it there. Once it all gets sold, at that point, he's going to pay. Here's the question. The question is, do we need to be concerned that during this interim period, maybe the guy is going to be menasach this yayin to his avodah zarah? I mean, after all, it's in his basement. It's literally in his house. And it's more than that. Not only is it in his house, but the guy feels a little bit of bilus over it. And the reason is because, let's be honest, the Jew hasn't paid me yet. So once he pays me, okay, so now it's already his. I mean, if he would walk in right now and say, you know what, I'm giving you all the money up front, I'm going to take the risk, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start selling it, maybe the equation would be a little bit different. But right now he hasn't even paid him yet. So it's in the guy's house, so he has easy access to it, presumably. Not only that, he hasn't gotten paid for it, so it's lead by gospel, like in the previous Mishnah. He feels a little bit of a nexus to it, rightfully so. So the question is, are we concerned over here that maybe he was menasech or not? So the Mishnah says like this. This is what it depends on. Really, the whole Mishnah is working with this case, and it's going to give two different variables that need to be juggled when we figure out what the status of this wine is. Here's the first variable. In the event that this house opened up to Rishos HaRabim, so it's in a public area, he doesn't live in a suburb, Ben Benoishal suburb, where he has no neighbors. No, he lives in a bayis that opens up into Rishos HaRabim. And it was a city, meaning it's a Rishos HaRabim that's in a city, and that city is a city that has Ovdei Kechavim and Yisraelim, there's Jews and Gentiles that live side by side in that city. Mutter, then the halacha is that it's going to be mutter. If, however, the city is a city that's Kulei Ovdei Kechavim, Aser, it's going to be Aser, Atshe Yoshev Shomer Meshamer, unless there's going to be a Shomer. But without a Shomer in that instance, it's going to be a problem. So in the event that this bias opens up to Rishos HaRabim and there's Jews that live in the city where the Rishos HaRabim is, dear the halachas, it's going to be mutter. If it opens up to a Rishos HaRabim, but there's no Jews there, all it is Levdi Kechavim, then it's going to be a problem. The only time it's going to be okay is if you literally appoint a Shomer. But if you don't appoint a Shomer, it's not going to be okay. Now, as it relates to the Shomer, says the Mishnah, you don't need that the Shomer should sit there 24-7. Even if he's Yoytzev and Nichnas, it's going to be okay. Rav Shimon Elazar said, Rishus Ovdei Kechavim Achasi. All the Rishuyos of the Ovdei Kechavim are one and the same. The Gemara Named Beis is going to do a deep dive in terms of understanding what Rav Shimon Elazar is saying. But either way, here's the first variable. So as relates to this case, Hametari Yenoi Shel Ovdei Kechavim V'Noisnei Bershusai, and like Rashi adds, he didn't pay him yet. So you want to know, are we concerned that the guy chapped with the wine? Are we not concerned? What does it depend on? If the house opens up to Rishos HaRabim and it's a city that has Ovdei Kechavim and Yisraelim, punchline is Yisraelim, then the halacha is it's going to be mutter. Otherwise, meaning if it opens up into Rishos HaRabim, but all there is Ovdei Kechavim, certainly if it doesn't open to Rishos HaRabim, so then the halacha is it's going to be a problem. Now, why does it matter that there's Rishos HaRabim and there's Yisraelim there? So Rashi says, Dibra Mascho Mutter, the Mirsis Lei Ovdei Kechavim Veloi Naga. Because of Mirsis, right? Where does the word Mirsis come up? A lot in Avodah Zarah, most notably in the Sugyas of Chal of Yisrael. But it's a Mirsis situation. The guy's afraid. What's he afraid of? The Amar, reading Vaiten Rashi, he says, Dilma Chazili Hanach Yisrael, the Avri Rishos HaRabim. I'm afraid that maybe a yid that's passing by in the Rishos HaRabim is going to see what I did, umafsidna, and he's going to spread the word amongst the Jews. Don't buy this wine. Oh, you think this is good wine because a Jew produced it? I'm telling you now, I saw the guy being Menasei Chayim Levi Dezar. And it's for that reason, there's a mirsis. The mirsis is what saves the day. So again, what does it depend on? If it opens up into a Rishos HaRabim, where there's an ear with Yisraelim, then it's going to be mutter. Otherwise, meaning if it opens up to a Rishos HaRabim and there's goyim only, or if it doesn't open up to a Rishos HaRabim, then it's going to be a problem. Second variable. I'm tired. Same exact case. This is a little bit of a funny wrinkle. This we saw already in the previous stuff. So again, it's the same story. He didn't pay him yet. But what happened here is the Ovdei Kechavim wrote a shtar. He wrote a receipt. He wrote a shoiver to the yin, basically saying, that you really paid me. Now, he didn't pay me. But the significance of him writing his Kabalti Memchamois, and this is really what we need, is that it allows the Yid now to take the wine out of the Rishos of the guy if this is something that he chooses to do. Now, he's still going to owe the guy whatever arrangement he made with him. That's a shtar that he has elsewhere. But this is like some side document where he tells him his Kabalti Memchamois. And again, the punchline is that if the Yid wants to move the mois, or he wants to move the yayin, this is something he'd be allowed to do. So the halach in that case is mutter, it's going to be mutter. Avalim yirtzi yisrael lohoitzi, enei manichoi, the Bach takes out the vav. But what would be if the arrangement was where he didn't write his kevalti m'chamois, meaning punchline, so that if the yid would want to take the wine out of the rishos, he would not be allowed to. Atshi yitin lo yasma oisim until he pays him, zeho yimaisi v'veishan. This was a story that took place in Veishan, but asra and the chacham said in that case, it's going to be awesome. So what's the second variable? In the event that the guy would say his kabalti memchamois, so then it would be mutter. Being that the yid has a right to take it and move it, it's going to be mutter. But if the yid has no right to take it, then it's going to be aser. What's pashup shat? Pashup shat is that the only thing that would stop the guy from going ahead and being menasech now is this mirsis. So we said if it opens up to Rishos HaRabim and there's yid in there, there's a mirsis. To the extent that there's a real lien and a real hold that the guy has on this wine, that if the yid would want to move it, he would not be allowed to move it. Well, that would create a situation where the guy is not afraid to do anything. Because what's going to happen? Someone's going to go ahead and is going to see him being menasech. You know, he always could pull out this alibi and he could say, listen, I was never really being menasech the yid's wine, but at the same time, he owed me money and he hadn't paid me yet. And as a result, I just took a little bit. This is towards my tefillah. The rest of the wine, maybe I'm not touching. But to the extent that he has such a bilus over it, such a control over it, that the yid's mamash now let him move it, so that creates the antithesis of amirsis, and it's for that reason, in that case, it's going to be awesome. But otherwise, if he said it's kabalti mumcha mois, with the yid's allowed to go ahead and move it, in that case, you don't have the svar amirsis, and in that case, it's going to be mutter. So really, this case where the yid's not let him move it, achiyit leyas moisav, right, it's very similar to the case of the previous Mishnah, where there was an Ovi Kachavan that was standing on the tzad abar, and he's yeshloy milva olav, where Shmuel said, yeshloy milva al oisayayin, meaning where he has like a real lean on this particular thing. So over there, there's a certain comfort level, there's no mirsis, and over there, we assume the guy's going to go ahead and do it. Bottom line is, as it relates to this little bit of tricky case, hamitar yeinu shel Ovi Kachavan, v'noisnei b'shusay, right, that is the situation. So the question is, right now, could we trust that this wine wasn't tampered with, or could we not trust that this wine wasn't tampered with? The Mishnah really set up two different things that need to be juggled over here. Number one, is it pasuach l'rishus harabim, and in Tim Slomi, is it pasuach l'rishus harabim? Are you yidden? Are there yidden in this city? If it's pasuach l'rishus harabim and there's yidden in the city, it's going to be muta. Otherwise, it's going to be a problem. The second thing that needs to be factored is, did the guy say his kabalti mimcha mois, or did he not say his kabalti mimcha mois? Why do we care about that? I mean, could the yid move it? Could the yid not move it? In the event that the yid's able to move it, then it's going to be mutter. If the yid is not allowed to move it, so then it's lead by gaspa. There's no mirsis. Over there, it's going to be aser. So it's two different variables. So here's the question. What if you have one variable, not the other variable, right? How do these two variables coexist? How do they work together? So Rashi doesn't say it, ruchel bitchaktana, but he does. And not only once, he says it twice. Rashi says that the only time it's going to be mutter is if you could check off both boxes leheter. Meaning, if number one, it's pesuach l'rishus harabim to a city with his Yisraelim, additionally, it also has to be a situation where he wrote his kabalti mimcha mois. So if you have both of those svaras, then the halach is it's going to be mutter. But in the event that it opens up to a l'rishus harabim, but the yid's not let him move it, or in the event that it doesn't open up into a Rishus HaRabim, but the guy wrote his Kabalti Mimcha Mois, in those two cases, the halacha is that it's going to be aser. Meaning, the only time there's a halacha that it's mutter is when there's a real mirsis mitzad the guy. And what would create the mirsis? You would need two things. Number one, he's afraid that a yid's going to see him. Why would he think he is going to see him? Because his house opens up into a Rishus HaRabim and there's yidden that live in that city. Otherwise, this whole conversation is then on arrival. And even then, you would need one other thing to create the mirsis. You would also need that the guy said his kabalti mimcha mois. He doesn't have a lien anymore in this wine, because if the yid wants to move the wine, he'd have a right to move the wine. Now, he's going to owe him money, but he's not going to have a lean on this wine, right? He doesn't have milva loisa yayin. But in the event that if the guy yid wanted to move it, he wouldn't be allowed to move it. So even if it opens up to Rosh Hashanah, there wouldn't be mirsis. Again, really what it boils down to, is there a mirsis or is there not a mirsis? In order for there to be a mirsis, which is what we need in order for the wine to be mutter, you'd have to check off box one and box two. Box one, it's suach l'shus harabim in a city where there are yidin. Number two, it also has to be a situation where he said, his kabalti mimcha mois. Now, there's another important line in Rashi, which is a very long Tosfos that talks about, and really plays itself in if you want to learn through this Gemara well, and that is, Rashi says that when the Mishnah says mutter, again, when you meet these two criteria, it's true, afilu ein mafteach v'choysam biyadi. Even if this is not under lock and key. Meaning, whether or not this wine is under lock and key is really the first question you would think your local rabbi would ask you if you came to him with the Shaila. Says Rashi, I'm going to address it to you right away in the Mishnah, that when we say it's mutter because of a mirsis, even if it's not under lock and key, there's such a mirsis over here that even though the guy has very, very easy access to it, afilu hachi d'alach is that it's going to be mutter. We'll hold that thought because it's going to play itself out a little bit in the Gemara. Either way, so the Mishnah had said that in the event that someone's metariyena shalevi kechavim and he left it in the rishos of the guy and he didn't pay him yet and it's opened up into rishos harabim. So what's the halacha if it's an ir shekuloi over the kechavim? So then it's going to be aser. if the city has Yisraelim in it, then it's going to be mutar. And by the way, we know from Rashi, you even need the Tanai of the Sefer. You also need that the guy wrote his Kabalti b'mchamayis. But the Gemara asks a kashab, even if the city is kulayav t'kachavim, I still think it should be mutar. Why? Because for Iko Ruchlin, ha-machzirim ba-yoros, you have the infamous Ruchlin, right? The Ruchl is someone who is denigrated in Shas, right? He's one of the worst professions in the Gemara. But regardless, the Ruchl used to peddle his wares. He would go from town to town. He was a Jew. So you can have a city that's kuloy ovdei kechavim, but at the same time, you have a couple of Jewish salesmen that are doing what they do. So why don't we say that if the guy has it in his rishos, and it's in a Pesach, ha-pasuach l'rishos ha-rabim, even if the city is kuloy ovdei kechavim, but there's still going to be a mirsis. You know why there's going to be a mirsis? Because of the ruchel. Shmuel said you have to make an akimta in the Mishnah. You have to say it's talking about be'ir she'yeshlot l'sayim u'briach. It's talking about a city. This is very old school where, you know, at night sometimes they would literally lock the city, l'sayim, our doors, brichim, our, right, the briach of the Mishkan fame, our beams and bolts. But the bottom line is where they would shut down the city. Now Rashi adds to that that the Olam knew when they would shut down the city. So being that the Oyvid Keichavim could find himself in a situation where he knows for a fact that right now, do not enter, right? No one's allowed to come into the city, and the Ruchel, who's Mechazer al Ayares, right now can't do his thing. So if it's an Ir Shekulu Yerv to Kechavim, and there's no outsiders in the city right now, how does he know that? Because there's L'Sayim Ubriach. So it's in that instance that it's going to be a problem. But not a Chinami. Otherwise, if we didn't make this Aikimta, that we're talking about a city that has Od L'Sayim Ubriach, even if it's an Ir Shekulu Yerv to Kechavim, the Mutter, because it's a Mirsis, because of the Ruchel. Amar Rav Yosef said, V'chaloyin K'rishus HaRabim Domi. If there's a window, it's the equivalent of a Rishus HaRabim. So Rashi has two pshatim of what this means, and Rashi says, I like my second pshat. And that is, the case is talking about where the house of the guy did not open up into Rishus HaRabim. So you think, oh, it doesn't open into Rishus HaRabim, dead on arrival, right? First criteria, literally. Chapter 1, verse 1 is Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim. Says Rav Yosef, no, there's even a way that it could be mutter, even if there's no Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim, and that is that there's a window that opens up into the house of the guy, and who lives on the other side of the window? A Yid. So this guy, his house doesn't open to Rishus HaRabim, but at the same time, he has a neighbor, and the neighbor's a Yid, and the neighbor has a window that looks right into the winery that's going on over here. That's the equivalent there of a Rishus HaRabim. Why? Because the whole svar of Pesach Pasuk Rishus HaRabim is Mirsis. See, you have the same exact Mirsis over here. So said Rabbi Yis, it's going to be Motiv. Va'ashbak Rishus HaRabim Dami. In the event that the guy's house opened up into the garbage dump, that'd also be like the Rishus HaRabim. So again, even though it's not technically a Rishus HaRabim, but people sometimes go to the Ashba, right? First of all, to throw the garbage out. It was the outhouse sometimes. So people would go to the Ashbas, even though it's not technically a Rishus HaRabim. But again, there's a Mirsis, so it's going to be Mutter. V'diklok Rishus HaRabim Dami. Additionally, Rabbi Yosef said that if a Yid owns a dekel, he owns a palm tree that's next to the Pesach of this Oyvik Echavim, even if the, again, house doesn't open up into Rishus HaRabim, it doesn't open to the Ashpa, the Yid doesn't have a window, all he has is a dekel over there. That would also be the same thing. And the reason is because the Yid sometimes would climb on top of the dekel to get peiros. And Rashi says that the guy has a mirsis, right? The Irani Negeya, he says he's not going to go ahead and touch it because he's afraid the Yid's going to see me touching it. So that is also enough to establish this mirsis. Says the Gemara, psikreshe. What would be if there was a psikreshe? It's usually when you see these words, you learn them in Sechta Shabbos, right? That's number one. And number two, you're about to get into a real umdus. But hipsikreshe means something else. Psikreshe means where the top of the dekel was chopped off, meaning there's no fruit anymore on this dekel. So what would be, says the Gemara, if you have this bias of an Ovid Kechavim, it opens up not into a Rishus HaRabim, not to a Chaloy, not to an Ash, but to a Dekel. But it's a Dekel that doesn't have fruit anymore. The top of it is chopped off. As a result, there's no fruit. What would be the halach over there? It says, Gemara, pligibar Rav Achav Ravina, it was a machlis Rav Achav Ravina, chad aser v'chad shor. One said it's a problem, the other one said it's motaman. The aser, one that said it's aser, held it's aser, because only the salak asam. Because why would somebody climb to the top of a tree if there's no fruit there? So you don't have the mirsis, but maybe it's going to be a problem. Man, the one that says it's mut, is the of the behema vesolikli unibastra, because sometimes you can't find your behema, right? You can't find your cat, so it might have climbed to the top of the tree. So you're going to go to the top of the tree to try to find your behema. This is very old school. But either way, it's based on that. There's still a svara of mirsis. And being that there's a svara of mirsis, that would be enough for it to be motezok to gemara. So the gemara now is going to bring a braisa. This is a fun braisa. Because this is a braisa that doesn't just have a resha and a seifa, but there's the resha of the resha and the seifa of the resha. And then there's the resha of the seifa and the seifa of the seifa. It's not that hard. But it's all me inyan le inyan ba'isa inyan, our mishnah, what we've been learning about. Tanu rabbanon, echad alikech, echad aseichu ba'is, b'chaseish levi kechavim. If a yid goes and he buys a house, or he rents a house in a chatzar that belongs to a Navi Kicham. So Navi Kicham owns a chatzar with a bunch of houses, and then a yid went and he bought one of the houses. Or he rented one of the houses. Again, the chatzar belongs to the Navi Kicham, but the yid now owns a house, or is renting a house inside the chatzar. Umilu yayin. And the yid decided that he wants to use this house as storage for his wine collection. So he fills it up with wine. The question now is, do we have to be concerned that the puritz, the one that owns this chatzer, may have gone into this house and he may have been menasech yayin? Meaning, is all this wine going to be a problem or not? So the braisa says like this: v'yisrael dar ba'isa chatzer. In the event that there's a yid that lives in that chatzer, and the poskim say that when we say a yid, it doesn't matter if it's that yid, meaning the one that owns or is renting this house, or it's another yid. As long as there's a yid that lives by Isa Chatzah, the halach is mutter, it's going to be mutter. And the reason it's mutter is because the guy's going to be afraid to chapel with the wine because he knows the Jews are very sensitive to this, and as a result, he's not going to play around with it. There's a mirsis. And here the Braisa speaks out first, what Rashi spoke out in the Mishnah, that when we say it's mutter even if it's not under lock and key. Meaning, it's mamish exposed, where technically the guy can walk in and play with this. Afilu hachi, it doesn't matter. The halacha is, it's going to be mutter. B'chatzar acheres, what would be if there's a yid that lives not in this chatzar, but a yid lives in a different chatzar? So it sounds like it's in a neighboring chatzar. Well, some say even if it's not a neighboring chatzar. But the point is, the yid doesn't live in this chatzar. But let's go with the more simple pshat, and that is, he doesn't live in this chatzar mamish, but let's say he lives in the neighboring chatzar. So then the halacha also is its mutter. Because again, there's a yid in the vicinity. But the only time it's going to be mutter in this case is if there's a maftech v'chaysim biyadei. If it's under lock and key. If it's not under lock and key, it's not going to be okay. So again, we just went through the resha. The resha of the resha and the seif of the resha. The whole resha talks about where a yid bought or is renting a house inside the chatzar of a Navi Kechavim. He filled up this bias with yayin. And the question is, the guy owns the chatzer, so we concerned that maybe he was menasech yayin. So what does it depend on? Does a yid live in the chatzer, or does a yid not live in the chatzer? This is what the determining factor is. If a yid lives ba'isa chatzer, so then says the braisa, it's going to be mutter when, even if there's no lock and key, even if there's no maftech v'chayisim yadeh. If the yid lives not in this chatzer, but he lives in the neighboring chatzer, but it's v'chatzer acheres, so then the halach is, it's going to be mutter. But then, because he's not mamish in this chatzer, it's a little more chomer, v'chum maftech v'chayisim yadeh. Matarienish levi kechavim. Here's the seifa. If someone's matarienish levi kechavim, bir shusai. Sounds familiar. This is the case of the Mishnah. So again, the guy owns the grapes. The yid is making wine inside. The guys were just, he didn't pay him yet. In the event that a yid lives in that chatzar, mutter, it's going to be mutter. But the only time it's going to be mutter, even if a yid lives by a chatzar, is if there's a maftech v'chaysim biyadei. This is a little more chomer than the resha. In the resha, where the yid bought a house or is renting a house and he just has wine there, so there the halach is if Yisrael's dar ba'isa chutz, it's going to be mutter. In the case of mitar yenish shalevi kechavim, there we're a little bit more machmer, and there the only time it's going to be mutter is if maftech is and chaysim is biyot. Now why would he be more machmer in this case? Because the guy has a little bit more of a shaychis to it, because A, it's in his rishos, and B, it wasn't paid for yet. So again, he feels a little bit of a libay gaspa. He feels a little less afraid also. There's not as much of a mirsis. So over here, it's a little bit more chamer. So Yisrael dar ba'isa chatzah will make it mutter, but only if it's maftech v'chayisim yod. Only Rabbi Yochanan letano. So Rabbi Yochanan heard this braisa. We're interjecting now for a minute, so we didn't finish the braisa yet. But Rabbi Yochanan said, Tony, I want you to edit the braisa. That really, what the braisa is saying is that in the event that there's Yisrael darba oisa chatzah, it's going to be mutter, not only if it's maftech v'chayisim b'yadai, but even if it's a maftech v'chayisim b'yadai. In other words, the metar yenish alevi kechavim, if V'Yisrael Dar Ba'is HaChatzer is the same as Halekeach V'Has Soicher, where as long as it's a Yisrael that lives Ba'is HaChatzer, it's going to be Mutter, even if there's no Mavtech V'Choysam B'Yadai. B'Chatzer Acheretz, what would be the case of Metar Yenu Shaloi V'Kechavim B'Shusoi and it's B'Chatzer Acheretz? Dear the Halach is it's going to be Yasser, Afal Pisha Mavtech V'Choysam B'Yadai, even if there's a Mavtech V'Choysam B'Yadai. So this is so Chomer. In the case of Metar Yenu Shaloi V'Kechavim, and there's no Yisrael that's living in the Chatzer, but the Yid's living in another Chatzer, then it's going to be Aser, even if it's under lock and key. Divir Ameir, the Chachamim Moisrim, the Chachamim say it's Aser, Ad Sheyei Shomer Yoishev U'Meshamer, it's going to be Aser, unless it's a Shomer that's sitting and watching, Oy Ad Sheyavei Memuna Habala Kitzin, or if there's a Muna that comes from time to time, the Gemara is going to explain that. Either way, let's recap this price. So again, price was made up of a Reisha and a Seifa. And really, the Reisha had its Reisha and Seifa, and the Seifa had its Reisha and Seifa. It's all me'inyan le'inyan ba'isa inyan, where a guy has some sort of possession of a Yid's wine. And as a result, there's a concern that maybe he's going to go ahead and he's going to be menasach. The Reisha's case is where a Yid bought or is renting a house, b'chatzeru shalevi kechavim, he filled it up with wine. Do we have to be concerned? The Seifa is talking about our Mishnah. Hametari yeinu shalevi kechavim b'shusa. What does the Braisa say? The Braisa says, you know what matters? Is a Yisrael dar ba'is ha-chatzer, or is a Yisrael not dar ba'is ha-chatzer? Okay, how does it play itself out? So it plays itself out differently in the Reisha case versus the Seifa case. In the Reisha case, if Yisrael is dar ba'is ha-chatzer, then it's going to be muter, afal pi she'im avtech v'chaysim yodeh. And that's the Reisha. In the event that there's no Yisrael dar ba'is ha-chatzer, but he's dar b'chatzer acheres, then it's going to be mutter, but only if it's maftech v'chaysam yadi. That's the seifa of the resha. What's the seifa? The seifa where you metar yenish levi kechavim, there it's more chomer, because there the guy feels more gaspa, there's less of a svar of mirsis. So then the halach is, if Yisrael is dar ba'is ha-chatzer, mutter, only if it's maftech v'chaysim yadeh, right? That's more chomer than in the reisha, because in the reisha where Yisrael's dar ba'is ha-chatzer, it's mutter, even if the yid is not maftech v'chaysim yadeh. But Rabbi Yochanan told the Tana, no, I want you to edit it. I don't think there's any difference between the reisha and the seif as it relates to this case. If Yisrael's dar ba'is ha-chatzer, it's going to be mutter afal pi she'ein maftech v'chaysim yadeh. As it relates to where a yid does not live ba'is ha-chatzer, he lives b'chatzer acheres, so there it's machloik is remaining the chachamim, or at least that's what it sounds like. Dear, the halach is that it's going to be aser afal pishem avtech v'chaysim yadai. Divrei Rameir, that even if it is maftech v'chaysim yadai, but it's still going to be aser, right? That's the first time we see this in this braisa. And the chachamim say aser ad sheyei shomer yoishev u'meshamer oyad sheyavei memuna habala kitzen. Now, the next part of the Gemara is going to be trying to figure out what part of this braisa the chachamim are commenting on. And again, the braisa is made up of four parts, so really there's four possibilities. It could be the reisha of the reisha, which is talking about someone who bought or is renting a house b'chatzer shalevi kechavim and is Yisrael dar ba'is ha-chatzer. It could be the seifa of the reisha, same case, but Yisrael is dar b'chatzer acheres. It could be the reisha of the seifa, which is hametar yenu shalevi kechavim b'shusai of the guy and Yisrael is dar ba'is ha-chatzer, or it could be the seifa of the seifa, where hametar yenu shalevi kechavim b'shusai the guy and Yisrael is dar b'chatzer acheres. So the Gemara says like this, chachamim ahai, the chachamim who argued with Rameyer, or they're being arguing with someone here in this braisa, which part of the braisa are they referring to? Ilema seifa. Do they mean the seifa, meaning the seifa of the seifa? So let's take a look. What was the halach of the seifa of the seifa? Hametar yenu shlev kechavim b'shusai. Yisrael's dar b'chatzer acheres. Afal pisha maftech b'chosem b'yadei. The halach is aser. Meaning, mafteches chosem is not going to help. What do you need? You need a shomer, right? That is not going to work. What did the Chachamim say? Aser, unless it's a Shomer. Freit the Gemara, Tana Kama Nami, Meser Ka Aser. There's no Machloikis. If the Chachamim are commenting on that, then they're not really adding anything. There's no Machloikis, right? They're saying the same Tana Kama said. Tana Kama said it's Aser, even if there's Maftech V'chayis B'yad. In other words, you need a Shomer. What did the Chachamim say? You need a Shomer. It's the flip side of the same coin. The Mamish is saying the same thing in different words. So there's no Machloikis over here. Elo, I reached the Seifa. Maybe it's not the last case. Mamish, the Seifa of the Seifa. But maybe it's referring to the Reisha of the Seifa. What was the Reisha of the Seifa? Metayin Shlevi Kechavim and Yisrael's Dar Ba'is HaChatzer. Now, what was the Halach? We had two versions. The Braisa initially said that it's going to be Mutter only if it's Maftech V'chaysim Yadai. Rabbi Yochanan told the Tana, nah, you're being way too Machmer here. It's Mutter even if it's a Maftech V'chaysim Yadai. Says the Gemara, maybe it's there that the Chama argued. What are the Chamim saying? In that case, Even though the Yisrael's Darba Isa Chatzer, you would have to have a real Shomer. Says the Gemara, it can't be. You know why? Because Valkamali Rabbi Yochanan Latana, because Rabbi Yochanan told the Atana, who had originally said it's only going to be Mutter if there's Maftech V'chayis Miyadai, Tini, I want you to be Goyres, Afal Pisha in Maftech V'chayis Miyadai. That it's going to be Mutter even if there's no Maftech V'chayis Miyadai. And if that's where Rabbi Yochanan said, it can't be the Chama arguing with that. Now the Gemara itself is very sussum, but that's why we have Rashi, Baruch Hashem. What does Rashi say? Rashi says that from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan told the Tana, I think you're being too Machmer, it's therefore unreasonable to think that there's a Chachamim that would be even more Machmer than that. Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan's Gisha to the Braisa was, Tana, come on. If there's Yisrael Dar Ba'isa Chatzah, you're going to tell me it's only Mutter if there's a Chaysim and a Mafteach B'yaday? I think it should always be Mutter. Change the Girsa. Rabbi Yochanan, really? The Chachamim hold that it's Osir, unless you have a Shomer. So, no, that the Tanakama would be made of a mixas, and it would hold that it's going to be mutter, but at the very least, you need a mafteh for chayis and yodin, makes perfect sense. So from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan was magia the braisa, and he wasn't persuaded by the chacham, it must be this nishda as a chacham. Because if there's a chachamim that are so machmed, then Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't have been so makel. Shmak akasha, right? But either way, so the Gemara says it's not mistaber, that's what the Chachamim are referring to. The Ella says the Gemara must be a Sefer Dereisha. It must be talking about the Sefer Dereisha. Sefer Dereisha is the case where the Yid bought or is renting a house in the Chatzar of an Oivik Chavim. There's no Yisrael Darba Oisa Chatzar. What did the Braisa say? That if there's Maftech V'chaisim B'yadai, then the Allah is it's going to be Mutter. On that, the Chachamim chime in. So let's see it inside the Kam, Tanakama. What did Tanakama say? B'chatzar Acheris Mutter V'ushim Maftech V'chaisim B'yadai. V'chachamim Ayrim, you always have to have a Shomer Yoshev Umeshamer, or you're going to have a Memuna that's going to come during set times. We'll see about that in a second. But Al Kaponim says the Gemara must be that's what the Chama were commenting on. Now, the one possibility that the Gemara never even addressed is maybe the Chama arguing on the Reisha of the Reisha. Right, the Reisha of the Reisha is where Yisrael's Darba Yisachatzer. So that the Gemara holds is not Mestaber that the Chama would be arguing. Right, because even there you would need a Shomer if there's Yisrael Darba Yisachatzer. The Yisrael is the Shomer, L'chayra. That's why you would think for sure it should be Mutter. And also, Tafasta Merubah Lo Tafasta. If you can argue that the Chachamim are arguing on the Reish of the Reisha, the Seif of the Reisha, it certainly makes more sense that they're arguing on the Seif of the Reisha. Right? That's more of a case where you would think you need a Shomer than in the Reisha, the Reisha, with Yisrael's Darba Yisachatzer, who L'chayre anyways is the Shomer. But either way, the Gemara never even suggested Reisha the Reisha, because once Sefer the Reisha works, so it makes the most sense that that's what they're referring to. Right? Even just the Signun of the Gemara, that the Gemara is going backwards. Right? We started off, maybe the Chama arguing on the Sefer of the Sefer, Reisha of the Sefer, Seif of the Reisha, never even made it to the Reisha of the Reisha. It's all based on Tafasim Rubalai Tafasim, Tafasim Ruh Tafasim. The Chama being Machmer, so let's pick the most chomer case, that's probably where they're being machmer. What was the most chomer case? Hametari Yenoi, when the Yisrael's Dar B'chatzar Acheres. What's the next most chomer case, right? We're going from Mechomer Lahakal, because it just makes the most sense that that's where the Shita Sachomim would be manifest. But either way, what is the Shita Sachomim Lamaisa? The Shita Sachachomim Lamaisa is that in the case where the Yid bought or is renting a house b'chatzar of an Oivet Kechavim, where an Yisrael does not live in this chatzar, but he lives in a chatzar acheres. According to the Tana Kama, if there's a maftech b'chaisim b'yadei, the halach is, it's going to be mutter. Whereas according to the Chachomim, no. If he's not living in that chatzar, the halach is, even if there's a maftech b'chaisim b'yadei, it's not going to be enough. You're going to have to literally have a shomer. Now, when the Chachamim said you have to have a shomer, they said like this, Lo'ila Maser, ad sheyehe shomer yoyshev u'meshamer, oy ad sheyove mamun abol l'kitzen. So either you have a shomer, or, you know, if that mamish a guy who's there the whole day. But as long as someone comes, you know, l'kitzen, set times, says the Gemara, mamun abol l'kitzen, greyesuhu. Right, if he comes at set times, you don't want him to come at set times. If he comes at set times, so the guy knows when the yid's going to come, and he knows to be careful. Ella, the Gemara says, you have to edit it. Atsheyove memuna she'ene balakitzen. Not balakitzen, he's ene balakitzen. Ene balakitzen, you don't know when he's going to come. He's a nichnes v'yotze, so therefore he's going to create a little bit of a mersis. That's where this is going to work. Now, one other takeaway from this Gemara is that really, this Braisa was very much Behemshech Tar Mishnah. Certainly the safer part of the Braisa. It's either Reish of the Sefer and the Sefer of the Sefer. But the safer part of the Braisa was very much a continuation of Unzer Mishnah. We're talking about a matari yenish lavi kichav. And really, it threw in a new variable that we never even saw in the Mishnah. What's this new variable? This new variable is if that is Yisrael that's dar ba'os ha-chatzar. So Yisrael that lives in that chatzar, so it's in a chatzar, and a yid lives in that chatzar, it sounds like that in and of itself is a new reason for it to be mutter. Now, it's only going to be mutter if it's maftech v'chayisim b'yod, right? If it's not maftech v'chayisim b'yod, then it's going to be a problem. But al kopanim, there's an idea of Yisrael dar ba'os ha-chatzar where it's going to be mutter for husha maftech v'chayisim b'yod. As long as it's maftech v'chayisim b'yod, it's going to be mutter. So let's just bring out one point, which I think is obvious. In the event that this bias was pesuach l'shus ha-rabim in a city with his yidin, and it's talking about where the guy had written his kabalti, he gave him this fake shoiver. So then the halach is it would be mutter, even if there's no Yisrael dar ba'os ha-chatzar, quote unquote, and even if there's no maftech v'chayis v'yodah, like Rashi spoke out in the Mishnah. Where the halach of this price is negeya, is where you can check off those two boxes. So based on the halach of the Mishnah, really it should be aser, because you don't have box one box. Remember Rashi said you have to check off both boxes. So you don't have these two boxes, because either it's not pasuch l'shus ha-rabim, or it's talking about we're in manicha yachiyitin lo yas ma'oisav. So you don't have a real mirsis. And by the way, also you have to make the reverse akimtis of Rav Yosef. It doesn't open up to a window of a yid, and it doesn't open up to the ashpa, and it doesn't open up to a dekel. But the bottom line is, we're really it should be yasser. Still, there's going to be a new knetch, and that's what this price is being mechadesh l'chayra. And that is that as long as there's Yisrael dar ba'isa chatzer, then if it's maftech v'chayisim b'yodeh, right? Because Rashi in the Mishnah said mutter, and where you check off the two boxes, afo pisha e maftech v'chayisim b'yodeh. But over here, where Yisrael's dar ba'is ha-chatzar, and there's a maftech v'chayisim b'yodeh, then it's going to be mutter. So really, there's three categories. There's the category where it's mutter, afo pisha e maftech v'chayisim b'yodeh, that's the Mishnah. And then there's, it's aser because it's aser. There's a situation where it could be mutter, albeit if it's maftech v'chayisim b'yodeh, and v'chayre, that's the dovish and the schadish boy, as it relates to just the high level, the mizumanim part of this daf, as it relates to what came out of this price. Now again, there's a huge monster toisus on daf samach aleph amid aleph that goes through more of the pshat tov over here. This is very much extra credit. But going back to the Mishnah. Mishnah said, Rav Shimon Elazar Oimer, Rishus Oivdei Koychoven Achasi. So, you just have to look at where Rav Shimon Elazar said what he said. So, he said it in the first half of the Mishnah. The Mishnah was talking about Matanya Nishlevi Kechavim Noisir B'Shusai. So, what did the Mishnah say? If the bias was Pesuch L'Shus HaRabim, so it depends. If it's an Ir She'esh Po'iv Kechavim and Yisraelim, it's going to be Mutter. If it's an Ir She'kulu Oivdei Kechavim, it's going to be Yasser, unless you have a Shem. Rav Shimon Elazar said, Rishus Oivdei Kechavim Achasi, that the Rishus of an Oivdei Kechavim are one. Now, it's a very, very cryptic statement. Rashi in the Mishnah said, Mefarish b'Gemara. Usually Rashi will say that when there's really not even anything you can say without learning the Gemara that we're about to learn, and this is the Mefarish b'Gemara right here. And really, the Mefarish b'Gemara is going to begin with an Ibaya where the Gemara doesn't even know if Rav Shimon Elazar is coming to be Mekel, he's coming to be Machmer. It's a lot of confusion in terms of what Rav Shimon Elazar is saying, is because his statement is so cryptic. It's a Mefarish b'Gemara digger statement. But just one thing that's worth prefacing to the Gemara, and that is, as much as the Gemara is going to be unsure, it's a Mefarish B'Gemara statement, in terms of what exactly Rav Shimon Elazar said, but one thing the Gemara is taking for granted, and that is, that for sure Rav Shimon Elazar was coming to address the following case. What would be where someone's Metar Yenish Levi Kechavim, and he's leaving it by the, in the Rishus of a guy, but not that guy. Meaning not the guy who actually owns the peiris, who was a shutif in this yayin, so to speak. But rather, it was moved into another guy's rishos. How would the halacha be impacted over there? Now, let's just set this up a little bit better. We don't always assume that a guy is going to go ahead and tamper with wine, right? It's not something we always assume. That's for sure one of the takeaways over here. Once he touches it, we always assume he was menasach. But we don't always assume that he's going to go ahead and he's going to touch it. Part of the uniqueness of this case, of a matar yenish levi kechavim noiser b'shusai, is the fact that this guy in whose rishus the wine is feels a little bit of a connection to it, and as a result, there's a concern that he might be menasach. But then again, there's a mirsis, so that's where the Mishnah and the Braisa comes in. But the bottom line is, he feels this connection. The minute we take this wine and we move it into somebody else's rishos, So it could be now it's different, because now it's not in the reshus of this guy anymore. Now it's in the reshus of a different guy. And that other guy, I don't know if he's going to necessarily want to be menasach this yayin. He may feel that I have to stay away from it because it's not his. And by the way, he's a shomer pekadin, right? Can't be shaleach yad in a pekadin. That's just basic civil laws that he may not necessarily want to violate. So now the equation is a little bit different, because if it was in the rishos of the shotif over here, so then there's more of a concern that he might be menasach. But if you're going to put it in somebody else's rishos, then, you know, maybe there's also concern. But really, there's another thing you would have to factor. The other thing you would have to factor is that in as much as, yeah, this other Oyve Kechavim that right now is housing this wine, there's no concern that he's going to be Menasach, but he may cut a deal with the original Oyve Kechavim, the one that is the Shotif, and he may say that, you know, if you want, you can come to my house, and if you want to be Menasach, you know, feel free to go ahead and be Menasach. And in fact, the Gemara is going to speak out that there might be a concern that the guy who's watching it now would be incentivized to do that, because he'll tell him that, you know what, I'm going to watch your wine, I'm going to allow you come, and this is some shady deal that we're doing here. Go and be menasach. And then when I produce wine and I hire a guy, you know, I hire a Jew to go ahead and make the wine for me, I'm going to give you the wine and you'll be the one watching it, and I'll come to you and I'll do it. So again, there's a few things we need to factor. We need to factor, will the person that's watching it now, will he be menasach? Will the guy maybe go into his rishos and do it, and he won't even have to do it shalei b'shos, because they may come up with some sort of deal. So again, spoiler alert. In the Gemara, there's not even going to be a tzad that the guy would just go ahead and be menasach the wine that's not his, even though right now he's housing it in his rishos. It's not his, he has no right to do it, he's a shomer, he's not going to be shaleich yabit b'kodin. We're not worried about that. The one thing we would be worried about is that maybe he would go ahead and cut a deal with the owner, allow him to do it, and the deal would go something like this. You can come be menasach the yayin now, I'll give you free access, but at the same time, I want you to repay the favor. When it's come to time for me to, you know, give you my wine, I want you to allow me to come and to be able to do the same thing. Again, people's heads were very much in yayin back in the day, as we see, the whole flick of the wrist, but the bottom line is, this is what Reb Shimon Elazar's statement, his cryptic statement, seemingly is coming to address. Again, what were the words of Shimon Elazar? Shimon Elazar, Oymer Rishus Oyvde Kechavim Achasi. See how it connects? All the Oyvde Kechavim's Rishuyos are treated the same. So the Gemara says like this. Iboiluhu the B'nai Yeshiva had a Shiloh. Reb Shimon Elazar Lahakil Oy Lahachmer. Reb Shimon Elazar said what he said. Was he coming to be Mekel, or was he coming to be Machmer? So I think it's Kedai to see Rashi inside. Dibra Maschel Lahakil Oy Lahachmer. Because again, the case is a little bit nuanced, and Rashi's going to lay it out. Says Rashi, Lahak. The Kamer Tanakamo, the Tanakamo said, "Beir shekula over the kechavim." If you have a city that's kula over the kechavim, aser lahanichay bebeis ha'over kechavim shu bailav. You're not allowed to leave it in the house of the over kechavim, who's the bailav, right? Who right now owns the grapes? For who had then bebeis over kechavim ach? You also can't leave it in the house of a different over kechavim. Meaning the Tanakamo was machmer. This is the tzad Reb Shimon Elazar coming to be mekel, which by definition means that the Tanakamo was being machmer. Come Reb Shimon Elazar, Reb Shimon ben Elazar came and he said like this: V'chi kol reshus oivde kechavim achasi bitmiya. What, you're treating all the reshus of the oivde kechavim as the same koloimah? Right, this is a koloimah if there's ever been one. Hayul ve'ene bebeis bailov, being that right now the wine is not in the bias of the bailam of that guy. Mutter, it should be mutter. The high oivde kechavim. Because the other Oyve Kechavim Mirsis is for sure going to be afraid. And as a result, what do you have to be worried about? So if it's in the Rishos of the Oyve Kechavim, that's a Shutif over here. So it's in Beis Bailov. So then you would have to be worried. And if the Pesach is Pesuach Lirshos Harabim, but it's Kula Oyve Kechavim, that Lach is... Oh, but Kumrav Shimon Elazar, he says, yeah, I agree in that case. But if it's not in that Rishos, if it's in somebody else's Rishos, the other Oyve Kechavim is for sure going to be Mirsis. Not his. So if he's for sure going to be Mirsis, in that case, it's going to be Mutter. So that was one side. That Reb Shimon Elazar was being Mekel because he understood that the Tanakamo was being Machmer. He understood that the Tanakamo was not differentiating between Beis Bailov and not Beis Bailov. Comes again Reb Shimon Elazar and he says his words are Rishus Oiv de Kechavim Achasi, but you have to read it bit me. Rishus Oiv de Kechavim Achasi Oidomo. What says the Gemara Lachman Kamar? reading weiter in Rashi, maybe Rav Shimon Lazar was coming to be machmer. U benichusa itmar, very geschmack in Rashi. It's not bitmiya, it's benichusa. Right, vahatanya could be bitmiya, could be benichusa. Here too, your career of Shimon Lazar, bitmiya. Rashi will say bitmiya sometimes, or benichusa Rashi will say sometimes. I can read it both ways. What would benichusa? The Tanakhama dafka beveis bailov kamar. Rav Shimon Lazar understood that the Tanakhama was talking dafka about beis bailov. Vos Rav Shimon Lazar in the main man, that Rav Shimon Lazar came to say, hu adin beveis oivi kechavim. That even if it's in the beis oivi kechavim, what? You have to be concerned. Even in the beis oivi kechavim, I'm being mach. I hold, even the beis oivi kechavim, it's going to be a problem. Isn't there a mirsis? Yeah. We're not concerned that the Oivik Kechavim, who right now is housing it, who's not the Bailam, is going to go ahead and do it. I'll tell you what we're worried about. We're worried about Chayshina LeGoimlin. Goimlin means like favors. We're worried we're going to trade favors. Because Avagat the Hayu Oivik Kechavim Shabbaya Shaloi, Yichad Loi Karen Zavisli Yisrael. Even though the Oivik Kechavim, who is the owner of the house right now, he was Miyachid a Karen Zavis for the Yid Schaira, the Loi Naga. And as a result, we don't think he's going to touch it. The Nitfasol of Kiganev, because he's afraid that he's going to be viewed as a Ganev. But Chayshina, we are concerned, Dilma Shavak Le Levi Kechavim Chaveri Balayayin, he's going to allow his friend that's the Oivik Kechavim was the Balayayin, the Loi Mirsis, who is not afraid, Linsuchi to come in to be Menasech, Ki Hechi Dador, the Hodi Yisrael, Vizavim, Mihaivi Kechavim, Zim Nachrino, Umavki Legabi Ahuda Lishbalu Nachse, meaning as long as he knows he's going to repay the favor. So again, let's do this one more time. The case of the Mishnah, the classic case of the Mishnah, is where the Yid has his wine in the Bayis Oivik Kechav. The reason there's a problem over here is because there's this thought that the guy feels hamish with it. He doesn't have such a mirsis. Unless it opens up to Rishus HaRabim with his Yidin over there, and he wrote his Kabalti. But otherwise, because of the hamishkeit, that's what creates the situation for us to be concerned. Well, that all makes sense if the wine is in his house. But let's say if it's in another guy's house. As it relates to the other guy, he has no connection to this wine. If he has no connection to this wine, so over there he doesn't feel hamish. If he doesn't feel hamish, there's going to be a mirsis, right? He knows it's the Jew's wine. He's not going to chap with it. The only reason we're concerned that the guy's chapping with it is because he has a shaychus to it. But the other Rav Kechavim doesn't have a shaychus to it. The answer is true. He doesn't have a shaychus to it. But we're afraid that he may take the guy who does have a shaychus to it, allow him to come into his rishos. If he's going to come into his rishos, he will feel comfortable being menasech. Why? Because he, again, doesn't have the same feeling of the mirsis, because he has a little bit of a shaychus, and that's where we're going to end up running into trouble. This is what the machloikis Rosh Hashanah and the Chacham was. There's no question that was the machloikis. The question that the Gemara is not sure about is who is the machmer, who is the mekel, and that's the Ibayilu. So again, in terms of what Rav Shimon Elazar and the Chachamim are arguing about, it's mamish this case. The Chayshina Legoimlim and Chayshina Legoimlim. Again, we're zichin not concerned that the Goy Hasheni is going to go out to be Menasek, but he may allow the Goy Arishan to do it. Why would he allow it to do it? It's a little risky. Yeah, because he's going to repay the favor for him. So like this, he's going to allow him to do it. The question is, who's the machmer, who's the mekel? What does it boil down to? When you read Rav Shimon Elazar, who said, do you read it benichusa or do you read it bitmias? Again, Rav Shimon Elazar, lahakaloi lahachmen. It was he coming to be mekel, meaning he understood from the chachamim that rishus over the chachamim achasi, that chayshino legoimlin, right? We don't care if it's in his rishus, not in his rishus. Either way, this guy who feels hamish is going to figure out a way to be menasach. And on that, Rav Shimon Elazar said, bit loshim bitmio rishus over the chachamim achasi, but it's lahakal, oi lahachmer, or maybe it's coming to be machmer, that he understood from the Tanakhama that it's only what's in the rishus of the guy it's going to be a problem, otherwise not, and it's not bitmios benichuso, shus ev dechav machasi. What's going on over here? So the Gemara says, Rav Yudam Zairi lahakel, Rav Nachman Zairi lahachm, Rav Yudam Zairi lahakel, vachi kamen. This is what you read, Tanakam Kashem. This is what Tanakam Sakshem, Shabashus Ayasa, Kashus Evichavim, Achanamios. We spoke this all out already, we saw it in Rashi. We spoke it out by pass, we can see it quickly in the Gemara. Just like Bishusa Yitzasa, so to Bishusa Yitzchavim is also going to be Yasa. V'chayshin al-Legoimlin. Rav Shimon al-Azha Omer, and that Rav Shimon al-Azha came in, he said, V'met v'armamur in Bishusa, Ava Bishusa Yitzchavim muter, V'loi chayshin al-Legoimlin. What did Rav Shimon al-Azha mean when he said, Bishusa Yitzchavim achasi, he meant to belash and bitmiya. Rav Nachman am Zairi, Rav Nachman name is Zairi lahachmir, V'achi kama, Tanakama. This is what the Tanakama said, V'met v'armamur in Bishusa, Ava Bishusa Yitzchavim muter, V'loi chayshin al-Legoimlin. Because the Chavim am Mekal. And Rav Shimon al-Azha So Rav Shimon Elazar came b'nichusa to be machmer, and he said kol rishus oiv dekachavim achasi. That really kol rishus oiv dekachavim is going to be achas. Again, we know what the machloek Rav Shimon Elazar and the chachamim is. It's chashin l'gaim, no chashin l'gaim. We know what the case is. We're just not sure who's being machmir, who's being mekel. Boils down to, do you read Rav Shimon Elazar bitmiya, or do you read Rav Shimon Elazar benichus? It says the Gemara, Tanya kavasti Rav Nachman amaziri. There's a mafurish a brayso like Rav Nachman amaziri who said lehachmir. How on Rav Shimon Elazar? Shimon Elazar kol rishus evdi kechavim achasi mipnei haramoim. Oh, it's mafurish. Here he added the words mipnei haramoim. If he added the words mipnei haramoim, it means he's not saying bitmiya, right? It means he's explaining. He's coming to explain that this is what's going on. Says the Gemara story. The Beit Parzik Rufila, the house of Parzik Rufila, so Parzik was the name of a person. Rufila means he was the Sheni Lamelech. If he sounds familiar, is because he already made an appearance earlier in the Masechta. So in the house of Parzik Rufila, Isivu Chamra Gabi Arisayo. So they took wine that was really kosher to be sold to Yidden, meaning this was kosher wine, and he left it by his aris. So the Rabbanon told Rava, I think that in this case, it's a little bit different. Meaning, I think in this case, it's going to be mutter. Even the one that's chayish l'gaimlin, here it's going to be mutter. So again, let's set up the case. Parzik Rufila owns the anavim, and a Yid produced the wine. It's kosher to be sold. But what happened was he's storing it now in somebody else's house. So the question, how does this interact with the Gemara that we're learning now? So Rabbanon told Rava, I think that even if you hold Chashin on the Goimlin, but Hani Mili Hechet Kam Moisef Hai Gabi Hai. What is Chashin on the Goimlin? That I'm going to let you, even though I'm storing the Yid's wine right now, come into my Rishus to be Menasech, because you'll repay the favor at some point. Aval hoch over here, kibin darisi lav darki lo suve be parzik rufilo legomi lo chashina. But over here, this favor is never going to be repaid, because it's never going to happen that the oris is going to come to the king, the mishnah melech, and say, "Could you please watch my wine?" It's never going to happen. So maybe being that there's never a situation where the favor is going to be reciprocated, so could be over here there's no chashina legomlin. Meaning, what are you worried about? That the Parzik Rufila is going to go to the Aris and he's going to sneak in a little bit of a Nisuch? It's never going to happen, because the only reason I'm letting you do it is because you're going to repay the favor. And the repaying the favor is an unreasonable tzir. It's never going to be. So this is what Rabbanu told Rav. Amadu Rav told him, Adar Rabbe. This is like an Adar Rabbe ben Benoishal Adar Rabbe. Afilu l'man d'amal l'eichashin l'gayim. Even if you're l'eichashin l'gayim, hani mili heichad l'ay mirsis minei. That's only when you're not afraid of the guy. Aval hocha kibin the mirsis minei. So over here, there's a bigger chashash. Even if you think for one second that a Parzik Rufila knocks on the door of the Aris and he says, I'd like to come to the basement and take a look at the wine, he's going to say, I'm sorry, I can't do it, I'm watching you for the Yid. You may be menasachet. There's no way in the world that's ever going to happen. I mean, that there's no way in the world that that's ever going to happen. So over here, even if ordinarily, for sure, this wine is going to be a problem. One last case. Hahu kracha. Actually, says kracha is just long for krach, right? There was a city, Davi Yosef Bechamer di Yisrael, and there was wine of a Yid there, and a shtakach evi kechavim Davi Koy Beinidani. All of a sudden, somebody shows up one day, and he sees that there's an evi kechavim, he's draining sich between the barrels. Amar Rava. So Rava said like this, Im nitfas olav kiganev, in the event that this person is nitfas olav kiganev. So what does that mean? If you look at Rashi, two lines from the bottom, Im evi kechavim choloshu, vizaz ashvacho evi kechavim, v'yesh emas shoifte ho'ir olav. And he's afraid of the shoifte. He doesn't have big protection. He's not some big burly guy. So he's a shvacha person. Meaning, if someone's going to catch him, this guy is going to have to go through the legal system. He's not going to be able to hire an attorney that's going to get him out of this mess. So then he is mirsist through and through. Shari, the wine is going to be motev. He lied. But if he's not a oivikachavim chalosh, but he's the antithesis of that, then already aser, it's going to be aser. Because if there's no mirsis, it's going to be a problem. And on that note, Hadron Aloch Rabbi Yishmol, as it relates to raid. Last night, Be'ezus Hashem, we discussed the censored tshuva in the Shailus or Tshuvas HaRamah, Simen Kufchav Dalid, where he was asked about the minig in Merin, Moravia, where it seems that Jews were mezalzel, very, very makel, in drinking wine from Gentiles, drinking what we know as Stam Yena. And the Rama was asked if there's any kula, is there any loophole, is there anything that these Jews have what to be samech on? Now, at first glance, you would think that the conversation is dead on arrival. We're learning Masechtas of Avodah Zarah now, we've seen Mishnayos, we've seen Gemaras, we've seen Rishonim, where it's very, very clear that Yayin Shel Ovdei Kechavim, be it real Yayin Nesach, be it Yayin that was produced by Ovdei Kechavim, or be it even Yayin Shel Yisrael, we're merely, it was Nagaba Ovid Kechavim. Not only is that wine Aser, but Isuran Isarana. Additionally, we saw that that wine is Aser because of ideas related to Yayin Nesach, meaning ideas related to Avodah Zarah, which would make it not only Aser, but it would upgrade it to the level of potentially Abizrayu, the Avodah Zarah, which gets into a world of maybe not only is it Aser, but it's Yehar Gaval Yavar. Additionally, we saw that the Isser to drink Stam Yeinon is related to the Yud Ches Dvarim, where the Gemara says these were not just rabbinic decrees, but Afilu Eliyo Ubeis Dinoi would not have the ability to be Mevatel the Yud Ches Dvarim. So at first glance, this minig would go down as one of the strangest minhagim of all time, and it would seem to be axiomatically, categorically, positively incorrect. Stating that, Tosfos on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis brings fascinating discussion that the French Bali Tosfos already had, which seemed to suggest a little bit of a kula in what at first glance would seem to be this Parsha Chamura. And really it began with something that the Rivan said he heard from his Shver Rashi, the Rashbam said he heard it from his Zeder Rashi, where Rashi said that he found in a Tshuvas HaGa'onim that the Ovdei Kechavim Shabizmanenu are no longer chashud on doing Nisuch Hayayim. Now, to be clear, this conversation that Rashi and the Rishonim are talking about has nothing to do with what we spoke about at length several times in the beginning of the Masechta, and that is, are the Noitzrim Ovdei Avodah Zarah, are the Yishma'elim Ovdei Avodah Zarah, let them all be Ovdei Avodah Zarah. The point is that there was a certain pagan custom where, once upon a time, an Ovdei Kechavim that was left in a state of Yichud, in the same room with a glass of wine, had this impulse to, with the flick of a wrist, go and be menasech a little bit of that wine, l'avodah zarah. That's something Rashi said already, the Ga'onim said, was no longer prevalent in their times. Certainly Rashi said in our times it's not prevalent. And if that's the case, today when a guy engages with wine, we have to look at him as if he's a guy, obviously, but at the same time, not one that is a quote-unquote oyved avodah zarah. Or to quote the Lashon HaBrayso in Zayin Amud Aleph, he's not yoideya betiv avodas kechah. Okay, so how would Halacha treat him? It would treat him like a tinek ben yoymai. And we know that a tinek ben yoymai who touches yayin, it's not so poshut that that would even be a problem. In fact, it was machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav said tinek ben yoymai is oisa yayin nesach, but that only means that it's asa b'shtiyah, it's gidim mutabah. No, Shmuel holds tinek ben yoymai is eini oisa yayin nesach klal, which means that not only is it going to be mutter bahana, it's going to be mutter b'shtiyah as well. But regardless, today Rashi already suggested, and this goes back to the times of the Ga'onim, a guy who engages in wine, we have to look at him like a tinek ben yoyme, which means it's not going to have the chomer of the sugyas over here in Meseches Avodah Zarah. What does that mean, Lamaisa? In the worst case scenario, today, if a guy would touch wine, said the Bali Tosfos, l'chura you would think, there's a starke makim to say that would be mutter behana. In fact, the Rama in Simin Kuf Chav Gimel, right in the beginning, Sif Aleph, brings this Yeshayim. If you were to be so brazen and to suggest that Halacha is like Shmuel, that a Tinik Ben Yoyma is Enei Oysen Yayin Nesach Klal, which by the way is the Psak of the Bahag, it's the Psak of Rabbeinu Chananel, it was Divrei Rabbeinu Tamar Rishonim, well then it would be muted to drink it even L'chatchila. That is not the Halacha in Shulchan Aruch. But at the very least, a strong dais in the Rishonim that would open up the door to maybe be melamed zchus on a mekel. Additionally, stam yeinam, which is aser bahana, is only aser bahana, like the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah Chav Tesam and Beis, because of its nexus to yayin nesach. Well, to the extent there's no yayin nesach bizmanenu, so stam yeinam would be maybe mutter bahana. So the Rishonim already opened up the door of fascinating, I mean, this is like a top five Tosfos of all time, in terms of what's going on there on Unzayin Amud Beis, and a discussion that could be Yayin Nesach Bizman HaBalei Tosfos was already very different than the Yayin Nesach that was discussed in the Gemara. But All of this is fine and vile, and it helps you maybe with regards to Yayin Shel Yisrael Shenogabo Evikechavim. It helps you maybe for having Hana from Yayin Nesach, but to drink Yayin Nesach or to drink Stam Yenam Lo Ro'inu V'lo Shamanu. And in fact, that's not even related to Yayin Nesach. That's related to Mishum B'nai Seyem. It's related to Chasnus. It's Yud Ches Dvorim. And if that's the case, L'chura, there's no question in the world, that should be a problem. And it's for that reason the question was sent to the Ramah. You have these Moravian Jews there being Mekel, they're being Mezalzel. Do they have what to be Seymechon, or do they not have to be Seymechon? So last night we went through the truth from the Ramah. His incredible Koich Datera, he said, number one, being that it was Nespashet the Heter and it's Chaye Nefesh to drink wine. Again, something that is hard for us to appreciate, but it's Chaye Nefesh to drink wine. Could be it's like Pas, and just like in Pas, you find a Tzad Lahakal because of these two pieces. So could be when it comes to Yayin be the same way. Additionally, the Ramosh tells through the Gemara of Eidazar Lamed Aleph on the days where Shechar was also forbidden because of Chasnos. Yet you see the Amiram held that the Isser Chasnos with beer would only be true if you sat in their pubs and their taverns and their living rooms and you drank together with them. But if you took it to quote unquote go, well then maybe it would be different. So the Ramosh said you can make the argument, what's the difference between beer and wine? I mean, if there's any ever been two beverages that are Inyan Le'inyan Ba'isa Inyan, they are the two, right? So when it comes to Shechar, the Isser Chasnus is only a problem if your mom is drinking with them, then you can argue as it relates to Yayin's Isser Chasnus, it would be the same. But the Ramah said in so many different ways, everything I'm saying now is just to be Metayer Sheretz, it's just to be a little bit Melamed Tzchos, but you want to know if this is what I believe, Chas V'Chalil Mamish. And any person that drinks Tam Yenam, he's Bechlal, Poishim Yukashlubam. Stating that, you want to know if there's some avenue of Limud Tzchus, said Ramah there is. And this was really a brief recap of what we talked about last night. But as relates to today's raid, we're going to travel from Prague to Italy and visit a little bit what the custom was amongst the Italian Jews as it relates to Stam Yenam. And just as an introduction to this raid bite, I want to give a thank you and a shout out to Nachi Weinstein, who is our in-house Italian scholar. We know that already. But I really worked through this Inyan very much together with him, and he shared with me a couple of incredible marmakimis, as we're going to see. But either way, hashtag the Sfarim Chatter very much has his fingerprints on this raid bite. But regardless, there's a sefer that's called Sefer HaZichroinos. This sefer was written by Reb Shmuel Abuhav. Shmuel Abuhav was the Av Beis Din of Venice, circa 1600s. He's also the noted author of the Shailos Uchuvas Dvar Shmuel, one of the Goine Oilam of the 17th century. So Reb Shmuel Abuhav writes this sefer called Sefer HaZichroinos, and the purpose of the sefer is to address the ills of society. So he's looked around and he's noticed a lot of things that are not okay, and he wants to address them and be moir that Dalam has to be mechazik in certain areas. Zikarin Dalet, the fourth thing that he gives a mention to, and this is the most famous of all the things that I mentioned in this sefer, is the fact that there are people that drink Stam Yenam. And to him, it's a milsa de tmiya mamish, and he feels that this is something that requires a significant portion of this sefer to address. Because this notion that you could have Jews drinking Stam Yenam to him is mind-boggling. Now, if you go through Zikaron Dalet, and by the way, it's an easy read, Kaminig Italian poets and the Italian authors, they wrote so beautifully. Who's the exhibit A for that? The Ramchal, right? But the point is that it's a very, very easy read. You can go through it, especially now we're learning all these Gemaras. So for sure, it's a page-turner. But the point is, in the beginning of the safe of this Zikaron, so the way he sets it up is, he said, Bishloima, if people were having Hana from Stam Yenam, or Bishloima, if they were being Mezalzum, in Yayin Shel Yisrael Shenoga by Oivde Keichavim, they'd be mocking to be Melamed Tzchos. What's the Limud Tzchos? Toisvis and Avoy Dezar Nun Zayinam at Beis with all the raid. But the problem is they're drinking Stam Yenam. And drinking Stam Yenam, again, it's related to Bnoi Seim, it's Yud Ches Dvarim, and Mali Bnoi Seim 1,000 years ago versus today. L'chayr, the demographics from that perspective have not changed, and the sociological differences are not going to l'chayr impact this in any way, and if that's the case, at first glance, it's a most of the tmiya. See, he said he investigated this Indian a little bit, and what he discovered is, 8 different tainos, 8 different reasons that people suggested why maybe it's okay in 17th century Italy to be drinking stam yenem. And I think it's kedai to mention all 8 of them very, very briefly. The first one is that people say the nachrim bizman hazeh are not menasach yayin lavoy dazar anymore. Which is essentially what Rashi said, b'shem de tshuvas hagoyinim. And he deflects this, like he did in the introduction to this, said that would help you for this rana. That would help you maybe for yayin she yisrael shenaga ba'ov l'kechom. If you want to tell me that halacha is like shmul, so maybe you'd be able to drink it. But it's not going to help you for the ikar isr stam yayinim. So that is really coming from a place where you didn't learn these sugis and avodah zarah properly. It's very easy to say, oh, what's the problem today of drinking wine of a guy? They're not menasech yayin avodah zarah. Yeah, that's amazing if you don't know the Gemara and avodah zarah, the flam adat vav. But if you know the Gemara and the Gemara says there's a b'noiseim problem, there's a chasnas problem, there's a yud ches dvarim problem, well, this doesn't really get too far. And again, this is really everything that we talked about. The second heter that Rav Shmuel Abuav said that he saw as it relates to this inyan, is that the iser to drink stam yena, albeit mishum chasnus, would only be a problem if you're drinking it in the house, or maybe even in a tavern and a pub, together with an oivik hechafen. But to the extent that you're taking it to go, then already maybe it wouldn't be shver. And the precedent for that is of a dazar lamed aleph amid beis. We see by Sheikhar, which according to many, was also asim mishum chasnus, still the Amiram felt that there's no chasnus problem if you're not drinking it together with them. Now this taina, if it sounds familiar, this was the Ramah's second argument, right? This is the taina of the Ramah. Again, he didn't say it halacha l'maisa, but at the very least, he threw it out there. But says Rav Shmuel Abuav, again, not quoting anybody, but says Rav Shmuel Abuav, this is not a good taina at all. And the reason this is not a good taina is very, very simple. He said, because we know there's a lot of things that Chazal said are asa mishum chasnas. Chazal said that yayin is asa mishum chasnas. They also said pasin shemen is asa mishum chasnas. They said bishalakum is asa mishum chasnas. So I want to ask you a question. You ever hear anyone say that bishul akum is mutter as long as you don't sit and eat together with the guy? What do you mean? The whole issa bishul akum is because if a guy's going to prepare a meal for you, you might become his mechitin, right? That's what we're worried about. But that's something that's always a problem. You can't ever eat from anything that was nespashal by a guy. Ay chasnos, ay the Gemara says Sheikhar, says Rav Shmuel Abuav, you have to say that we have no right to pick and choose and be madam and milsa la milsa. When it came to Sheikhar, Mishum Chasnos, Dir Chazal said that it's only going to be a problem if you're drinking it with them. When it comes to Bishalak and Mishum Chasnos, Dir Chazal didn't make that distinction. He says, regarding Pas, I never heard such a distinction either. So Chazal knew, with their incredible wisdom, when to make this distinction and when not to make this distinction. But in terms of us going ahead and being Madam and Milsa la Milsa, Mehechetesi Yayin is like Sheikhar. Maybe Yayin is like Bishalakim. Maybe it's like Pas. Maybe it's like one of the other things that are awesome Mishum Naisayim. So we have no right to go ahead and to address it. Now, Beinu Yuvencha, the Ramah, who used this as a big Koyach Teter in his Tshuva, probably agreed with Rav Shmuel Abuav. Didn't say it, Lamaisa. He's coming to me, Malam Tzchus. So it really depends on how you want to approach this. If you want to approach it, it's wrong. If you want to approach it, let's be Malam Tzchus. Maybe we can say that Yayin is like Sheikha, right? So it depends on how you want to approach it. But this is a Musushmus. And in this Sefer HaZachronis, he says, what? I saw this argument, this Taina, that this is what they want to rely on. There's no way that this is something that you'd be able to rely on. The third taina that he brings is that people taina that the Gemara says Gazru al piton shamnam v'yeinon, right? Mishum b'nai seim. And the Gemara clarified exactly how that evolved, but they put them all together, right? Chazal clearly put them together. It's a Gemara v'dazar lamed vav amed beis. Said Reb Shmuel Abuav, I saw some wanted to say that it sounds like piton shamnam v'yeinon are kulam b'chadam machta. It's all the same gzeir. So what? So if they were matter shemen, which we know, right? Bimei Rebbe, right? Rebbe Yehuda Nasiya, they were matter shemen shel oivei kechavim. So once shemen is mutter, so memeli yain is going to be mutter as well. As if to say, these were three takonas that were all put together, and once one domino falls, they all fall. So if they were matter shemen, everything is going to be mutter. And Reb Shmuel Abuav said, that's ridiculous. First of all, mechateisi. Second of all, Chazal said it by shemen. They never applied it to everything else. It sounds like it was meant by Shemin. What do you mean? The Shemin domino fell in the times of Chazal. They didn't make any deal about, oh, that affects passing, that affects the ayin. And he says, besides, if you go through the maskana of the Gemara, the way the Gemara comes out is Gazro al piton v'shamna mishum yeinam, and yeinam mishum b'nai seyan. What do you see from there? You see in the Shalsheles, yayin is one step closer to b'nai seyan than passing gemin is. And Rashi says, because wine brings to bad things sometimes. Certainly can bring l'day erva. So if that's the point, just because they were mat to passing gemin, wouldn't make yayin mutter. In fact, he said that if they would have been matter yayin, and you wanted to tell me now pasin shemin is mutter, oh, that's a good argument, because gods are all piton v'shamna mishum yeinam. So if yeinam is mutter, well, then they should be mutter as well. But that's not what Chazal said. It was just the opposite. It was piton v'shamna mishum yeinam, and now they were matter shemin. Number one, who said the three have anything to do with each other? If anything, it's in the reverse order. You see that Chazal never even mentioned it regarding pasin shemin. He says, as far as that goes, to him, that's ridiculous. The fourth heter that he saw is Eva. Eva. He said, the fact that Jews don't drink wine together with Oivdei Kechavim, some people are arguing it just brings to animosity and to bad feelings amongst the Gentiles. And we find that Chazal were mekel, and they were matter a lot of things, Mishom Eva. And based on Eva, I think this is something that should be mutter. So the first thing that Shmuel Abuov says is that we have no right to be Mechadesh Eva. With Mechadesh Eva, he brings the Tshuvas HaRashba, already said this. We can't go ahead and decide what's Eva. He brings Gemaras where Amiram thought something should be Mutter Mishom Eva, and then they were told that they were wrong. But the point is, we are definitely not Balabatim now in the 17th century to say that something that Chazal said is Aser, something that's brought down on Shulchan Aruch as being Aser, we're going to go ahead and we're going to be Mutter Mishom Eva. He says, besides, did you ever feel this Eva because you don't eat non-kosher meat? We're anyways not eating and mingling in a proper way together with the Oivdei Kechavim because of the laws of Kashrus. So Yayin, this is where everything is going to fall apart? Says, I don't believe that. And then he says something very interesting. He says that there are a lot of Jews that are for sure makben on Stam Yeinam. It's not everyone that's being mezalzel, right? A lot of people are being makben on Stam Yeinam. Some are and some aren't. He says, you know what I think is the greatest eiv in the world? He says, when the Umay Sa'olam see that there's no achdus amongst the Jews, that's what causes eiva. He said, if the Jews are unified, he said, then there's no eiva. That's what he says. He says, but when we're in a matziv, where we're not getting along, that creates Chil Hashem, it creates Eva, it looks like the Jews don't know what they're doing, and if we don't have our act together, how do we expect anyone else to respect us? If we can't respect ourselves, fascinating idea. But he says, the Eva is going to come faket from being mezalzel. He says, because you're never going to get the Prushim and the Chshuvim to go ahead and to be mezalzel. And the fact that this Jew does and that Jew doesn't, it makes us look like a joke. And when we look like a chuk of a tlula, that creates the greatest anti-Semitism in the world. Ah, this is like a fascinating little nugget tucked away over here in the middle of Taina Dalit of Sefer Zechariah from Ashmul Abuf. But either way, that was number four. Number five, this one's great. And really, you know, before last night's raid bite, you would say, come again, but you have to rewind it. But I think after last night's raid bite, we can at least appreciate it. He said, I've heard people say that if a Jew doesn't drink Stam Yeinam, it's pikuach nefesh. She'ein adam yochel lichlois below yayin. It's impossible. Can't make it through your day without a glass of wine. And because, really, sometimes the only wine that's available is Stam Yeinam, so it's mamish a question of pikuach nefesh. Now, he says, could be when you're home, you know, you have your local wine guys that you can go to, hashtag Yontif, etc. So over there, maybe it's not Pekuach Nefesh. But when you're on the road, oh, then it's for sure Pekuach Nefesh. And if it's Pekuach Nefesh, it's going to be a problem. And he writes back, he says, listen, I understand that, you know, wine is very important, but it's not Pekuach Nefesh. And because it's not Pekuach Nefesh, he says, come on, you ever saw somebody die because he didn't have a glass of wine? It never happened. So Avada, it's not Geschmack, but Pekuach Nefesh, it's definitely not. And as a result, that's not something you can say. The sixth taina that he brings, which I'll be honest, I don't understand, but the sixth argument is that being that so many people were mekel, achrei rabim lahatos, you have to go baser roif. If roif Jews are mekel, then you have to be mekel. Now it's amazing, Rabbi Shmuel Abuav even gave this a little bit of ear time, because what would a lamdan say when he hears this? Achri Rabam Lahatois, right? You know, it's Yudua that there was a Galoch, a Koimer, he once asked Rabbi Yonis and Ibishitz, that I don't understand. It says in the Torah, Achri Rabam Lahatois. He said, most people in the world are not Jews. So why are you following your religion? Aren't you supposed to go bus a roif? So Rabbi Yonis and Ibishitz told him, it's true. It says in the Torah, Achri Rabam Lahatois. What does that mean? It means when there's a suffix, we're not sure what to do, you go bus a roif. But if you know the MS, if there's a Vadai, there's no Svar of roif. Roif is a tool that the Dayan uses in a Suffolk. Rav is machrius fakis, but b'makim vaday rav is a garnish. So achri rabban lahadlois. What do you mean? It's very nice. So many people are doing it, but if it's also, it's also. But either way, this is what Rav Shmuel Abuhav said was an argument, and obviously this was something he really didn't like. The seventh, which we're not going to go into, is there was a lashon from a tshuva that was written by the Re'em, Rabbi Leo Mizrahi. This is in his Shailos Tshuvas. It's Simen Nun Vav, and from that tshuva, it sounds a little bit like he was Mekel. In fact, it sounds a lot like maybe he was Mekel. And this was something, argument seven, that the Sefer HaZecharonis was coming to address. And he says that, you know, as it relates to that, don't make a big deal about that, because the truth is there are other tshuvas that were written by Rabbi Leo Mizrahi where it's clear that he was very machmer, and he goes on this whole arichos. This is probably the longest part of this chapter, where he says people, they take tshuvas out of context and they take quotes, and he did say it, he didn't say it, he meant it, he didn't mean it. He says, if you're going to tell me what the Rabbi Leo Mizrahi's position was when it comes to Stam Yenam, go through every single tshuva, you didn't, I did, and I'm telling you right now, he was a big machmer in this Indian. I, that one line, it's a kasha for Maisa. But either way, there's no question in the world that's the way it is. And then finally, the last thing he says that people taina is, this has been the minik. He says, I don't know, I was born in Italy, Padua, in the year 1640. My father told me that he used to buy wine here, and his father used to buy wine there, and his father used to buy... This has been going on for generations. And if it's been going on for generations, he says that, you know, I don't know what to tell you. This is the way we've always been doing it, and if this is the way we've always been doing it, so there has to be some merit to it. So to that, Rav Shmuel Abuhav said, what do you mean, your father did it? I mean, your father, it's very nice he did it, but doesn't make it right. He says, if there were chachomim and skenim that did it, memelo, but they weren't chachomim and skenim. These were people that were making the same mistake that you were making. Mesoira is a gutezach, and Cesar a gutezach. But to have a mesoira on drinking stam yenom, I mean, that's not what we call mesoira. It's not shalavicha v'yageitcha, right? And being that that's not shalavicha v'yageitcha, so it's for that reason, says Rosh Mubuv, that's not going to be Eitzah, regardless. Here in Perek Gimel of Zichron Dalet, he goes through eight different eitzos, maybe what he calls tainos, lahakel, and he categorically dismisses all eight of them. But one thing is clear, you see from this whole inyan, and that is that in Italy, in the 1600s, this was a major problem. This was a major, major problem. Truth is, there's more evidence that this was a major problem in Italy, circa the 1600s, and that's from another sefer. This sefer was called Yayin HaMeshomer. You can find it. Sefer is called Yayin HaMeshomer, and it was written by Hagoyin HaMekobel Rab Nosson Nota Shapiro. Now, not to be confused with the Baal Megala Amukas, who had the same name, but this is Rab Nosson Nota Shapiro, who is a big Mekobel, and he wrote a Sefer called Yayin HaMeshomer. And the purpose of the Sefer Yayin HaMeshomer is to, again, address this issue. And that is, there are Jews in Italy that are drinking Stam Yenom. It's wrong, and I have to address it. Now, if you look at the Sefer, which I did, you'll see the Sefer is made up of two parts. The first part of the Sefer is a bunch of Haskamas, and all different Gedolim and Tzadikim that are on board 100% that this is a terrible, terrible thing. Now, it's a little ironic, and the reason it's ironic is because the Haskamas that Rav Nosson Nota Shapiro brings were not Haskamas on his own Sefer. In fact, his Sefer itself has no Haskamas. But there's 30 pages of Haskamas that were given in Friya de Gedoris to similar Kolkoiris or Machos, meaning different letters that were written related to the fact that people are drinking Stam Yenom when they're not supposed to be drinking Stam Yenom, and he's being mitzaref them to his own Sefer. But anyway, that's the first part of the Sefer. The second part of the Sefer is his argument of why it's wrong, and if you take a look at it inside, you'll see the whole Sefer is Kabbalah. It wasn't a Sefer that was written al-pi nigla b'chlal. Rav Nosson Nota Shapiro was a big mekobel, and this Sefer that he wrote was al-pi Kabbalah. And really, it comes from a Zohar HaKadosh, where the Zohar HaKadosh says that any person that's not Nizer and Stam Yenam will not merit to drink from the Yayin HaMeshomer when Mashiach is going to come. Hence the name of the Sefer, Yayin HaMeshomer. And the two are related to each other. You drink Stam Yenam, you're going to lose out on the Yayin HaMeshomer. And he works with that Zohar and other Kabbalistic sources. And really what comes out is that in the world of Kabbalah, Stam Yenam is from the worst things a person could possibly be nichshol in, which means that the sugya of Stam Yenam transcends the shmuz of the Baalei Tosfos in the 11 and 1200s in France. It transcends all this raid. There's a Kabbalistic component, and that was the point that the Goyim, the Mekobel, Rav Nosson Nota Shapiro was coming to make. But either way, from these two Sfarim, Sefer HaZecharonis, which was written by Rav Shmuel Abuhav, and Yayin HaMeshomer, which was written by Rav Nosson Nota Shapiro, both addressing the Italian Jews, it's very, very clear that this was an issue not only in Moravia, but this was a major, major issue in Italy as well. There's a journal that's put out by Rabbi Yaakov Hillel's Mechon, Avat Shalom. It's called Minhag Nozem. They're already holding by volume 19. I think that's the most recent one that came out. It's a hardcover, glossy, pictures, fascinating journal. The name, Minhag Nozem. They're taking things out of Geniza, uncovering different Gedolim that were forgotten about, and different Kisveyad that never saw the light of day. In volume Yudalit, and this is page Kuf Yud Ches, there's an article that was written by a professor, a tremendous Goyen, whose name is Rabbi Yaakov Shmuel Spiegel. And the purpose of this, it's a kuntris on Stam Yenam, Italy, circa the era that we're discussing right now. Specifically, there was an Italian Gadol whose name was Reb Mahalal Hallelujah. That was his name. Reb Mahalal Hallelujah. Incidentally, he has an entry in the Shema Gedolim. Reb Mahalal Hallelujah was a Rav in Italy in the 1600s. He had written Svarim. One of the Svarim that he wrote is Shailos Tshuvos Halal Gomer. Not surprising, but that's the name of the Sefer. Shailos Tshuvos Halal Gomer. It has 65 Tshuvos in it. Gematria of Halal. In the back of Shailos Tshuvos Halal Gomer, there are three Tshuvos that he wrote about this issue of Stam Yenam Bismanoi. And this Chaker, Yaakov Shmuel Spiegel, is printing for the first time these three tshuvas on Stam Yenam from Reb Mahalal Hallelujah. And this is what it is. So he prints it with footnotes, and in the introduction to this presentation, he talks a little bit about what was going on in Italy at that time. Just as an interesting aside, the first footnote that he has in his own piece is Toidasi Nasuna. I want to give a big yasha koyach to Rav Shol Alter, Shemidani al Kama Pratim B'mayim Razeh, who helped me write this article. So he gives a big yasha koyach to Rav Shol Alter for helping him with this article. But either way, just to get a little sense of where this Torah is coming from. But regardless, so he goes through what was going on in Italy, and he quotes the Seif HaZechonis Rav Shmuel Abuev, and he quotes the Yana Meshume from Nos Natan Shapiro. These are the famous svarim that were written on this topic. And he says a few interesting things that I want to mention. Number one, so it's clear from these svarim that there was a problem in Italy, right, where people are drinking Stam Yenam. So here's the first question I think you'd want to ask yourself, right, the curious listener would want to know, and that is, who exactly was being nichshal? This is the hamoinam that are not, you know, the chevra that are necessarily behaving the way they're supposed to behave. I mean, the people that the Rav is getting up and shrying about. Or were these actually chshuvim? It's the Yungalite? Like, who is it? Right? Who are the people that are drinking Stam Yenam? Right? Every society has its ills. Usually, they're associated with a certain fringe of this society. Who in Italy was drinking Stam Yenam? Would you see an Adam Choshev drinking Stam Yenam under the premise that this is okay? So here's two Mar Mekoymes that, if you're a little bit familiar with Italian history, is absolutely mind-blowing. The first thing that Rabbi Yaakov Shmuel Spiegel uncovered is that when Rabbi Shmuel Abuav wrote his Sefer HaZechronis, and he talks about eight different arguments that he saw that it should be mutter, so he didn't write where he saw these arguments, right? He makes no mention of it. But he says, it's Pashat, where he got this from. He said, because there was a Sefer that was written around that time, and in that Sefer, all eight of these arguments are there. And he says, no, shile in my mind. It's posh, it's beyond a reasonable doubt. That this is what he was referring to. Now, that Sefer is a Sefer called Mogen Umachsa Umastor Vehisnatzlitz. That's the name of the Sefer. And it was written by a Yid whose name was Reb Eftalion Roviga. Right? So he was the Rav of Roviga. And he went ahead and he writes this Sefer called Mogen Umachsa Umastor Vehisnatzlitz. And it's from there that it's coming. So we track down the Sefer. And if you take a look at the Sefer, it's very, very small. But listen to what he writes here in the beginning. I'm just going to read a few excerpts. He says, V'im ki toy be'inai mo'id ha-ze'irus bazeh. Someone that's nizer and stam yenam, it's very, very good. U'mishabech ani kol ha-nizor and bazeh mo'id mo'id. And I'm very mishabech people that are nizer in this. Mikol mokem, kol oid lo yu'ucha lasis ha-mitzvah b'shlemus kamer. But I feel it's very hard today to be nizer in the inyan of stam yenam b'shlemus. And the reason it felt that way is because it was just too hard to produce your own kosher wine. It's very, very hard. Lo'i melani libi lechis b'kanfei ha-prishus hazeh. So I decided that this is not something that I'm going to get involved. Be'ilan Agadol. He said, but I want you to know that even though what I'm doing is a chiddush, but I have what to rely on. An Ilan Gadol. Who is that Ilan Gadol? It's Reb Shloime Yehuda Katzen Ellenbogen. Now, Reb Shmuel Yehuda Katzen Ellenbogen. Shmuel Yehuda Katzen Ellenbogen was one of the Rabbanim in Venice around this time. He was the son of the Maram Mipadua. Maram Mipadua was the Gadol Hadar B'Shaita. This is the Maram Mipadua's son, who is also a Gadol Hadar B'Shaita. Beyond reproach. Not negotiable. All the tzaddikim that we're quoting from now are 100% beyond reproach. So he says as follows. Ubedov is evadi yesh litli satsub ilan ha-gadol Reb Shmuel Yehuda Katzen Ellenbogen. Shegam hu loy hoyo nizabazeh. He was not careful in Stam Yena. Kigalui viodua lakur. Upamachas one time, Ayisi misfakeachimoi. Aldinze. I was fighting with him. I said, what are you doing, my Hela Gerebbe? Vesoif, soif, omali, beikra de dina. Bish, loy malish de siayimi mohem. He said, Ramos Taino, the Taino base of the Seif Hazachroinus. He said, Bish, loy, if I was drinking wine with them, ikabe isimishum chasnos. Omnom liknoi siayimi hem velish toisai bevesi, my chasnos ikka. I don't think this is an Indian of chasnas. Ulefia nochas achachomim ma'ela she'ein lahacher achra agoyim mori v'rabi agoyim karoy v'nochim me'emes gam achri ein lahare bozeh hoyol v'ani oiches maiso ovi reches Yisrael. So I'm going in the footsteps of my Rebbe. I saw my Rebbe be mekel, and if I saw my Rebbe be mekel, this is something I could be mekel in as well. The makor of these eight tainas that Rav Shmuel Abuov was addressing was really, if you trace it back, it was Rav Shmuel Yehuda Katzen Ellenbogen, which if you know, was a Goyen Olam, the son of Rami Padua, one of the most respected Rabbanim and Gedolim of that era. This is where it traced itself back to, which is absolutely fascinating. I'll tell you something that's even more mind-blowing. If you're sitting, be careful. Hold on to your chair. And that is that Spiegel quotes here in this article that there's a tshuva in the Shilos HaTshuvas Be'er Esek. So there's Be'er Esek was written by Reb Shapsi Be'er. He was also Italian Gadol in the latter half of the 17th century. And he was discussing a very nuanced shaila in the world of Stan Yena. And in the middle of the tshuva, he goes off a little bit on a digression. And he says, quote, Umi lanu Gadol. Meharab Menachem Azaria Mipano Zechitzadik Vikosh Lishlevrach. Ashadolo Vihishkim Mitayrose Shalari Zechitzadik Vikosh Lishlevrach. Ubiz Beis La Alofim Lehevi Elov Echemigdoy Litamida Marie Sorg Zechitzadik Vikosh Lishlevrach. Vikol Yomov Shosam in Ayayanazah. That's what he writes. He says, Vikol Yomov Shosam in Ayayanazah. Vuloy Bikesh Loy Gedulois Kashahigli Mari Zechitzadik Vikosh Lishlevrach. Sheyben Achoise Vichosnoi Vyotzak Mai Mayod of Koyim Echaya Vichulu Vichulu. He brings that there are Mami Pano drank Stam Yena. Now, why is this so interesting? I mean, first of all, this is what? It doesn't even make sense, right? But I'll tell you why it's even more interesting than that. Because if you remember, not so long ago, in the beginning of Masechta Shavuos, when we did the raid bite about the beard, and it's Yodua that the Chassam Sofer brings in his tshuva about the Ramami Pano, that he was clean shaven, he calls him Ramanachem Azariah, who was Aviyah Mikubolim, Lo Yehoyo Lo Yisayre Echad Alpana, right? He didn't have one facial hair on his face, because he used to shave his beard. What's the Makar to the Chassam Sofer? It comes from the Be'er Esek. That's where it comes from. And if you remember, we mentioned then Rabbi Yosef Irgaz, and others said that the Be'er Esek was misinformed and they came so stark. You're saying that the Ramami Pano didn't have a beard, Chalil Avadi had a beard. It's the Zelba Be'er Esek. It's mamish fascinating. The Be'er Esek said Ramami Pano was the one who was like, Oyle Sire Echad. That's in Simon Ayin, and in Simon Zadik, Simon Nun Zayin, he's saying that he drank Stam Yenam. This is a plea in his gov if there's ever been one. But this is what he brings. By the way, just to give you an appreciation, who's the Be'er Esek? His tshuvas were reprinted recently. You know, reprinted them? Mechoyim Mishas Rabarim. Bismedrish Gevaya reprinted his tshuvas. He's one of the Gedoyle Olam. And this is what he brings, the two tshuvas. In one tshuva, the Raman Banu didn't have a beard. And the other. So Spiegel says, I mean, we know that Eidos of the Be'er Esek was very much contested. A lot of people said he was misinformed, that it wasn't true. How people came out strongly. Now, the Chassam Sofer brings it in a tshuva, but we know how strongly people came out against it. And here, again, this time talking about Stam Yena. What's even more interesting is if you look at the Sefer HaZecharonis. So, we mentioned what was Taina Ches. Right? What was the eighth argument? The eighth argument, maybe to be Mekel, the eighth argument was that this is what the Zaydis did. Right? This is what everyone grew up like this. So if everyone grew up like this, so based on that, L'chair, it should be okay. And he writes back, what do you mean? You saw your father and Yazayda do it? Yazayda was the same sheikh as you are. I don't know what to tell you. It's your sheikh, it's Ben-Benoishel sheikh. It's right? It's basically what he says. He says, Bishlam, if you saw by the Chachamim, that'd be one thing. But you didn't see it by the Chachamim. And then he says, let me tell you what I saw by the Chachamim. And he starts, listen, he mentions the Marik, and he mentions the Marami Padua. He starts going through some of the big Italian names. And then he says as follows. Gam Milus Harav Havosik. Mayreinu V'Rabbeinu Ramanachem Azaryo Mifano Zeichet Tzadik Levrocha. Avki B'tshuvois of Hamut Fosseis Ein Lanu Bahem Dova Ben Yezeh. Even though all the tshuvas that we have from him, he never said a word about this. Abaloi Tehei Hoi Das Piv G'doylo Mea Das Edei Ria. Asher Ra'u Boi Nizer Zoriz V'Nisker. Everyone knew how Makbid he was when it comes to Stam Yenom. V'chochmas Elikim Asher Hoisei Bekir Boi Kashem Eden Tzvarev Asher Zocha Oilom Lo'irom Miyutom B'tfus V'ruvim B'ksav Yodoy Haloi Hitaget V'toydiya Kayim Divrei Chachom V'dik Dukei Seifim V'chulu V'chulu. Either way, he says, Terami Pano, this tzaddik, this Kaddish, everyone knows that he was very nizer when it comes to Stam. So was the Merami Pano nizer in Stam Yenom? Was he not? Did he have a beard or did he not have a beard? Why are we talking about this? It's all Torah. This is all in the sugyas of. It's coming up in these rabbis. This is absolutely fascinating. But Al-Kaparim, one thing for sure, you see that there were real Rabbanim. There were real Rabbanim that seemingly were behind this minik. Here's another good one. Rav Moshe Provincello. Sounds familiar, right? So Rav Moshe Provincello is the one that wrote the tshuva about playing tennis in 15th and 16th century Italy on Shabbos. So in Simen Kuf Lamed Vav, so he has... He has a tshuva about a certain type of cheese. And this is the way the tshuva begins. Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, im yesh iser ba'achilas harikado cheese, linizhorim mistam yeinam. For the people that are nizer in stam yeinam, ki lo yodati mahi o yodati v'shochachti. So it seems they used to put a little bit of wine. So someone that's who's not nizer in Stam Yenom? It's like gebrokts. I eat gebrokts. I don't eat gebrokts. I put a knedel in my soup. I don't put a knedel in my soup. This is not open for debate. What's this negotiation over here? The Teretz is because in Italy, there were people that were nizarim. There were people that were not nizarim. By the way, this whole kuntres was written really as a hakdama, as we mentioned, to Ramahalal Hallelujah's three tshuvas that he wrote on this topic. So what did he himself write? So if you take a look at his tshuvas, so he writes as follows. Seems that somebody tells him that it's very hard for me, he's bitzar, by not drinking stam yenom. So he goes with a koyach tetera. It's amazing. He says that nisach hayayin, or that whole inyan of yayin nesach, that's not an issue anymore. Toistis and avodah zarah and zayin mebeis already addressed that. So that's off the table. What we're left with is the problem of chasnus, the problem of neseim. He said that's an issue the Rabbanon, and B'makam Tzar, this precedent where you could be mekel, and today for a person not to be able to drink wine, he's going to be in an enormous amount of pain, and based on that, he wants to be mekel. I mean, these are incredible kulos. You talk about Yudchas Dvarim. These are incredible kulos. Listen to how he finishes his last tshuva. Hine mihani taim midamaran. Because of these reasons, b'stam yenam shol goyim, when it comes to stam yenam of goyim, hashtir kados. The shtir is kadas, it's always kalten, im yesh ba'aynis. There's a little bit of an aynis, meaning you're uncomfortable, you're a bitzar. V'kosher hadover lefnei ha-melech malkei shaloylam. And it's kosher lefnei ha-melech. This is, the poetry is just ridiculous. U'keruza kari b'chel mitzvah teres shem t'mim m'shivas nafshesh, ashe yasa oysam ha'odam v'chaybem. The Torah was given v'chaybem v'loysha yamus b'hem. This is what he writes. Sir Mahal Hallelujah was also from the Makilim, but here's the bottom line. The bottom line is this was not just a kula that was prevalent amongst Amoynam. This was a kula that seems made it to the rabbinic level, and it was a real thing. Now, if you go through the Inyan, in Shulchan Aruch, it's categorically awesome. I mean, after you mention some of these things, we have to make this very clear. In Shulchan Aruch, there's no question in the world this is Aser. It's Aser, 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 Aser. There's no shayla in the world. In Shulchan Aruch, the only makom there is to be mekel is when it comes to a guy touching a yid's wine, if you want to have anah from it, or if you want to have anah from stam yein. So there's makom lahakal. But when it comes to drinking yayin shenogabai, avi kechavim, even though there's l'chayra very much on me list, in Shulchan Aruch, it's not True. And when it comes to drinking samyenam, that's not even a gay. And even the Ramah that wrote his Truva, the Ramah only said it to be Malamet Chos on Yidin. He says in his own words, I'm being Metaher Sheretz Shazutayra. That's what he says. He's literally being Metaher Sheretz. But really, it's something that he believes is 100% Maser. If someone drinks samyenam, he's Bechlala Poishim Yikashlova. And if you look in the Hakdama to the Sefer Yayinam Ashomer from Nasan Shapiro that we mentioned earlier, the Grace of Makobo, he brings from different tzaddikim that came out very, very strong. By far, the most important one of those quote-unquote haskamas is haskama that was written first by Rabbi Yosef Cairo, the Beis Yosef himself, and then afterwards a Kol Kaira that was put out to address this interesting minig that signed off by all the Rabbanim of that famous Bezdin in Tzfas. And including that Bezdin is the Mabit and the Alshech and of course the Beis Yosef Aleh. So it came from Ar Moirei Hayra. All Ar Moirei Ra held that this is something that without a question is going to be Aser. Stating that there were times in Jewish history where people were Mako, and it seems like maybe even Gedolei Yisrael had signed off on this Kula. Now, when you go through it, you know, sometimes you go through these Inyanim, you hear the Tzadak Kula a little bit starker, and you struggle more to understand, you know, the Bal Nefesh Yachmer component of it. This Kula is a Peladig Kula. Again, there's words, there's rationale, and it seems like there were Gedolei that signed off on it. One thing is clear, that when you go through it, the only reason the ones that were Mako were even Mako was related to the world that they live in. It's a world that we don't live in today. So today, for someone to walk into a store and buy Stam Yenam, or if someone's on vacation and sitting in a hotel and they offer him a non-kosher glass of wine, or he's sitting on a plane or wherever he might be, you know, he's going to say, it's Stam Yenam, I heard some raid bites. I mean, that's a pirate's gather on the highest level. Because when you go through the Inyan, even the Tzadak Kula is related to the fact that there was a time it was Chai Nefesh, there was a time you couldn't survive. Today, Yontif will sell you the best kosher wine you could possibly buy. And if that's the case, there's no question in the world, this is not something that's negeya bismaneno. You want French, you want Italian, you want mavushal, not mavushal, whatever you want, they'll sell it to you at good prices. And the bottom line is, whatever you want today, you're able to get. So avada, even the tzadak kula that was going on in that time is not something that was bichlal relevant to zmaneno. But at the same time, from a historical perspective, as amazing as it may sound, once upon a time this was a real thing. But I just want to end with one thing, and that is that one of the marmakimis I came around about, just going through this Indian a little bit, was the Maral Miprag gave a fiery drasha. This is one of the printed drashas from the Maral, where he talks about how the Olam is drinking Stam Yenam. And the truth is that it's not a chiddush. It stims with the tshuva from the Ramah. The Ramah says in Moravia, this is a problem. And Prague is practically the capital of Moravia. So it makes a lot of sense that this is a problem. And he's very, very, very distraught. And my muscharishim was, the Maral is screaming, Chai v'kaya mamish, about what's going on. And the Ramah is being malam etzchus, right? They're both Rabban Shalkol b'nei Agoyla, right? Who's going to pick and choose between the Ramah and the Maral, right? The Ramah is talach, what the Maral is, the Hashkofa and Musar and Kabbalah. So, I don't know. But I think the Mahalach, the Pashto, the Mahalach, just the Hashara, this is what I think. Maral was the Rav. When you're the Rav, you have to be Mechiach. A Rav sees his chevra, I don't know, they're talking during the hour. He has to get up, he has to say something. What are you supposed to do? The Ramah is the Rav in Krakow. He's not the Rav in Prague. Abez Rabin Shalkol B'nei Agoyla. And Rabin Shalkol B'nei Agoyla is avoid this to be Malam Tzchus on Yidin. But it's so fascinating. Had the Maral came from one angle, he's giving musits. My chevra, my kehila. How can I not give them musits? They're drinking Sam Yenam. I believe it's wrong. The Ramah is coming from a different vantage point. He's coming from the vantage point Medaf Malamit Schuzain of Yiddin. And like the Ramah said in that beautiful tshuva, you metar sheretz even to be Malamit Schuzain Yiddin. I can't get over that tshuva from the Ramah, by the way. I know it was censored, the Hulu was uncensored, you know, obviously at some point as well. But the bottom line is, the way he was Malamit Schuzain Yiddin is absolutely incredible, because he doesn't like it. It's clear he doesn't like it. And again, you know, we're going to censor the Ramah, we might as well censor the Torah, right? Because, I mean, this is the Ramah. I mean, the Ramah is the Shulchan Aruch. But the bottom line is, this is what he felt. He felt very strongly about Daf Malam Yitzchusayin of Yidin. There's a tremendous muster in that. But the Maral is the Rav. The Rav Daf Mechiyachzan. It's not a Chiddush at all. But I'll tell you one other thing I came around. And that is, there's actually a tefillah, a Misha Beirach, that was composed by the Maral Miprag. And they would say this in the Shul in the Maral. And this, I guess the Altnai Shul, right? I didn't see it on the wall the last time I was there, but I guess that's where this was said. And this is a Misha Beirach, La Nezorin Biyayin Sha'asru Chachomim in Moravia. You ready? This is the Misha Berach, and we're going to end with this. Misha Berach Aviseinu Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov Moshe V'Haron David U'Shloima V'Chol HaTzadikim V'Chasidim V'Haprushim V'Hanezorim B'Mitzvot Shenitztav Yisrael Hu Yivorech V'Yiroimeim V'Yinaseh L'Mailo L'Mailo Kol Ish V'Isha Shenizaru B'Yayin She'asru Chachomim Zah U'Beschar Mitzvah Zois Yiten Lo Yakodosh Baruch Hu Bonim U'Vnei Bonim Atzoiv Kol Adoyrois Chachomim U'Nevoinim Oiskim b'toyru mitzvahs l'shma u'moyrei ha'yrois b'Yisrael v'yizkulu rav tov atzofen l'tzadikim l'asad lovoy u'liyayin ha'meshumar v'lo yovoy shum michshol v'cheit v'takola al yedeyim v'yishmireyu v'yatzileyu mikol nezek u'machlo v'tzar v'yishlach brocho v'hatzlocho b'chol maise yodov v'yitein lo'y chayim v'sholoy me'ata v'yad oylon v'noymar Amen.